B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
All right, let's get your Tuesday started. John Kincaid's show on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bobby's got a sneezing fit going on as we start the show this morning.
All done.
An allergy fit there or not?
No, I don't know. I think I'm allergic to Jamie.
My
allergies are out of control.
You and Andy Summers.
Oh, this past week's been rough.
It's tough.
Changing of the seasons always gets.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
But what are you allergic to at a change of season?
No idea.
No idea at all.
Just every changing of the seasons, I get allergy outbreaks.
I was surprised because every year, right around Halloween, it would be Georgia-Florida game over the time, I would lose my voice. I would have like a change of seasons thing, and I would have like 2 days where my voice wouldn't go. This year, thankfully, it seems to have survived. So we appreciate that. As we get rolling this morning, our 6 a.m. sponsors, our friend at Bradford White Water Heaters, Bradford White's here for the pro. So we watched the Giants last night. As much as we could tolerate, the Eagles' next opponent showed up on national TV last night. And again, I wonder why the NFL goes with, you know, it says, well, we're just going to go with major market teams and try to get the best ratings possible because that's what ESPN wants. That's what Fox wants otherwise. The Giants are putrid. They're really, really bad. And again, this is one of those weeks as we look towards a game here. I don't know what I learned last night watching the Giants. Other than Daniel Jones can't be their answer. And if you heard the broadcast last night with the Giants being the market for Russell Wilson, and if they were, Russell Wilson would certainly be interested, wink, wink, in a place in Manhattan and living in Manhattan. Could that be the answer? We could end up facing Russell Wilson twice a year going forward.
Ciara's obviously never seen Rittenhouse Square at Christmas time. It's lovely.
It is lovely. Daniel Jones, though, I think the Giants have gotten their answer. Slowly but surely, I think the Giants have gotten their answer on Daniel Jones. And he isn't the answer. He just isn't. And right now, this Giants team lines up for you. Two of your last 6 games against the Giants. To me, it looks like if this season is truly anything where you are ahead of them, those are 2 games you got to win if you're the Eagles. And Sunday's game, the more difficult one, because you're going up to the Deadlands or whatever they call it now, MetLife. You're making the trip up there. But for the Eagles, last night you should have seen a feast. You saw a team that can get pushed around a little bit. You see a team that really doesn't have an offensive identity. And I don't think Daniel Jones is going to pick you apart. Things are looking a little brighter as we get ready to carve the turkey. We begin this show today with Bob and Jamie and Pat and Connor and Mike and the coach, Eric Camille. Thanksgiving week edition of the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nothing should scare you about that Giants team after last night.
No, and the word that you used there, John, was one that I had to describe this. Giants, they just have no identity at all. They threw the ball 39 times last night. They averaged only a little over 4 yards per pass attempt. That's horrible. Saquon Barkley isn't running the ball anymore. They look like a team that just didn't know what to do. To get back there and have Daniel Jones, he threw the ball 38 times. To have him do that with the talent level that he doesn't have, it's just, there's nothing there. Now, Tampa kind of get, you know, Tampa struggled early. Not struggled, but they let the Giants stay in
it
early.
It was 10-10.
10-10. Brady threw an interception. You know, you thought, wow, are they going to just stick here? And it was, no, they have nothing. Like, they can't hand the ball off and gain yardage. Daniel Jones is going to save you that way. They just, unlike the Eagles, who have built an identity with this run game and whose defense is starting to build some kind of identity, I think, the Giants have none. They are like, I say this, they are like water that you're trying to form into something with your hands. You just can't do it. The Wonder Twins could, but you can't form this team in anything because they don't have an offensive line, they don't have a quarterback, they don't rely on their running game. I don't know who they are, but they have no identity right now.
And Joe Judge, after the game, did the, I consider to be the wave the white flag moment of, this one's on the coaches. Trying to save his locker room, saying, guys, I'm taking the bullet for you.
Yeah.
This one's on the coaches. Hey, Joe, We knew it was on the coaches because you guys have been incompetent since you took over.
Dave Gettleman's awesome. I hope he keeps his job forever.
That's not happening, I don't think.
I love that guy. He's awesome.
They're not letting him take those two top first-round picks.
What a dope. I mean, seriously, you're going to trade up and overdraft Daniel Jones. You're going to take Saquon. I don't know if he was there for Saquon or not. Regardless, taking a running back second overall is just idiocy.
Andrew Thomas was a reach.
Yeah, not taking.
Oh, I don't think so. A reach?
Yeah.
He's a decent
player. No, that's where he was supposed to be drafted.
He's the only
No, I'm getting that confused. Who was the other guy?
Tony?
Kadarius Tony?
No.
Andrew Thomas was not overdrafted.
I'll show my mic.
Yeah, he was not overdrafted.
Yeah, they just haven't addressed the line.
And I'd take him here, and I bet he'd be good.
Yeah. I mean, it's malfeasance? Is that
That's
word?
A good word.
Yeah.
That's a real good word.
He's a dope. I mean, Jalen Hurts is already the second best quarterback in the division, which is wild to think about. Daniel Jones stinks. And if you watched the Manning cast last night, you know Eli Manning is, he still bleeds blue.
He's trying to be kind.
Him and Peyton, at least three different times, were basically like, what the hell are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Like, before the half, they were trying to kill the clock, yet trying to score at the same time. It was nonsense.
Eli had Eli face almost throughout the whole broadcast.
Yeah.
Well, I watched the first half with those two. But through the first half, he had Eli face, like he just got sacked by the Eagles for the 10th time in the day.
I could listen to Parcells talk to them.
That was awesome. That was good.
I could listen to that all day long. But the one thing was in that, the whole Parcells thing, if you saw the Parcells part, Bill Parcells is full of poop, though, on one thing. He told Eli Manning's dad, Archie, said to Bill, if you'll guarantee that you'll draft him, he would come out. And Bill wouldn't guarantee that he'd draft him.
Well, that's stupid.
So that was why Eli, he didn't believe in Eli. He didn't believe in Peyton as strong as other people did.
Well,
and that's a bunch of BS revisionist history. Like, oh, I would have done that. Because Archie Manning has told the story various times. Like, he was in circles. It's like, if Peyton knows, he won't go back for his senior year.
Yeah, their dynamic's pretty funny. Because Eli's question to Parcells was, yeah, what would you have done with his 28 interceptions his rookie year? I mean, geez. And Parcells just kind of chuckled.
Pat, it's I look at the Giants and I say, that's where I believe the vitriol of Eagles fans is way over the top. As far as when a slight bump in the road for this franchise, the Giants are in a four-season rebuild that appears to have gone nowhere.
Yeah, it's awesome.
They're still, it is, isn't it?
I think it's the worst record in the NFL over that period.
They're still in a ditch.
Yeah.
Yes, they are in a ditch. We're going to get into that later on.
Yeah, I got Andrew Thomas confused with Eric Flowers.
Eric Flowers, yes.
Yeah, that was a disaster. No, you're right. And Dave Gettleman, Jamie's correct. I hope he keeps his job forever.
He's so good at his job.
It's just head-scratching move after, like, the Daniel Jones draft. Okay, you reached for him, but you also could have traded back for him. You know, and then you pass up Justin Fields in a move that, look, jury's still out, but kind of need a franchise quarterback, so it was kind of a head scratch. Hey, they're just a disaster. They're a dumpster fire. Their head coach sucks. He's another one of these guys from Parcells' coaching tree, and those guys rarely work out.
We talked about that last week. Is what's the Parcells coaching tree? Romeo Crennel, multiple failures.
Eric Mangini.
Matt Patricia.
Josh McDaniels.
I mean, the Parcells coaching tree has withered up fruit on it.
Yeah.
That is not a good coaching tree. Andy Reid has two Super Bowl winning coaches off of his tree in John Harbaugh and Doug Peterson. I mean, that's an accomplishment.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of people, especially around here, think that Bill Parcells was a little overrated. I don't understand that. Yeah. But
I'm a Parcells
geek,
though.
Yeah. Yeah, his coaching tree hasn't done it, but, where does that go to?
Well, Joe Judge, did any one of you, in all honesty, did any one of you know his name when it came out that he was going to be the Giants coach? I had to Google him. I had no idea who he was.
I had no clue.
To me, that's terrible. If I'm running a corporation.
But I didn't know Nick Sirianni either, in fairness.
Yes.
No,
I didn't know his name.
Yeah.
Nick Sirianni did not know his name.
And Joe Judge is from the area. I was the same year as him. I have mutual friends with him. I never heard of the guy.
So he came up in the coaching search, Nick Sirianni, same thing. As a CEO of an organization, or as the owner of an organization, I'm hiring a CEO. I couldn't hire a CEO that nobody knew their name. I just couldn't. Yeah. I'd want somebody in the industry that is known as an up-and-comer, riser, whatever. Joe Judge never was.
You have to have a lot of confidence in yourself to go out on a limb like that, right? I mean, we see it a lot. We've seen it. Look at the NFC. Two of the four teams right now have guys that nobody really heard of. NFC East, I mean, that nobody's really heard of. If you're a general manager, an owner, whatever it may be, to go out on a limb like that, one, it's egotistical to say, like, I know more than everybody else. But two, you have to have a lot of confidence in yourself.
The only reason I knew Andy Reid's name is because they would show those Andy Reid, Jim McMahon pictures back in the Green Bay days, and they would talk about that kind of stuff. They'd show videos of, so I knew who Andy Reid's name was. I never thought of him as a candidate before he got hired. The Eagles have done it, honestly, three times. Doug Peterson, again, I knew of.
Right.
But I didn't know Doug Peterson as a head coach. The Eagles have done it, honestly, successfully over the years, hiring guys.
I mean,
have done that.
When they were going to hire Andy Reid, I left the paper. They sent me to a hotel to find him when he was coming in because we got word that they were interviewing him. I had to take a picture with me.
I literally had
to pull out the Green Bay media guide and copy a picture of Andy Reid and carry it with me to the hotel to see, yeah, is that him, is that him, is that him?
Now, what you did is he put a cheesesteak and fries out on a table and tried to lure him out. They figured lure him over at that point. Hey, going back to work means more cars are on the roads, more air pollution. Share a Ride offers a cleaner way to commute in southeastern PA and lets you earn rewards. Go to pacarpool.org. Now, the Giants have had Super Bowls in our memory. Bob, you and I have seen them win four. We've seen them win four. And do you look at Washington, though, as a bigger dumpster fire franchise, or do you look at the Giants?
Washington.
So do I.
Yeah.
But right now, I don't know that that's right. Like, when you look at the two of them, because even though Washington's not close to anything, and they've been into this process pretty much 4 years, but Ron Rivera's only been there for a couple.
If they had a quarterback, they'd be in much better shape.
Yeah, they don't even have a quarterback, like, around that might be the guy of the future. At least the Giants tried it, and it seems not to be working.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. They're both pretty bad, and it's great.
Can I ask you who's Russell Wilson, honestly? I mean, he's had a fantastic career as a Seattle Seahawk. Who's Russell Wilson to be like, nah, I wouldn't want to go to the Eagles? Or I wouldn't want to go to Washington's, because it's hinted that, yeah, I'd go to New York. But, like, who's Russell Wilson to be picking his spots right now? He's terrible right now. He's not playing well. And he's part of the reason the Seahawks are crappy this year. He is absolutely part of that reason. It's not like, well, Russell's been great. It's the surrounding team that sucks. Russell's not been good.
He's a Super Bowl champ. Yeah. Quarterback and those.
Seems like a long time ago to me.
Well, think about how often a type like him comes around. Yeah, that becomes available. It's not very often.
But you're getting that.
I would make demands, too.
But you're getting that beautiful. He doesn't get to do demands because Seattle gets to pick if they want to make the deal.
Well, sure. Doesn't he have he's got a no trade.
He's got
though,
a
right?
no trade. Yeah, and so. Reportedly, if you watch last night. Yeah, wink, wink. They wouldn't mind being in Manhattan.
Shocking.
If that's the case. But not Philly, not Washington.
I don't believe that.
On the East Coast.
I don't believe that for a second.
You don't?
No. Washington, I believe. Because Washington is a cesspool dumpster fire of an organization.
Yeah.
Philly,
see, that's
no.
what I say, because it doesn't seem like it. It seems like there's some message being delivered.
And this isn't even me being like a homer. I mean, the way that players talk about playing for the Eagles organization and playing under Jeffrey Lurie, they love it. Like, they speak glowingly about it. That word gets around the league. So, you know, look, maybe he wants a new deal. Maybe he wants this and that. But I don't think a second...
Oh, no, he wants out.
No, my point is, I don't think for a second, if push came to shove, he'd say, oh, no, I'm not going to Philly.
Because it's weird, because he wanted to go to Chicago.
Exactly.
Last offseason.
Yeah,
Chicago was one.
What does a guy look at going to a city? And if I'm Russell Wilson, I'm saying how immediate, at 33 years old or whatever he is, how immediate can this team win?
Correct.
What are their up-and-coming young players, and what's the coaching staff like? So you're going to compare that to the Giants?
That's what I'd say.
Eagles are way ahead in that aspect. And obviously way ahead of Washington also.
I don't believe there's I think the Eagles still need more young emerging talent to step up. to make that case if you're going to try to lure somebody like that in.
Well, a quarterback, the most appealing thing is an offensive line, right?
Correct.
I mean, I would heavily consider that if I was a quarterback looking to go somewhere.
So Tyrese Maxey with 24 points last night. Sixers, I guess without their entire starting lineup, right?
Yep. Their highest payroll guy last night was Furkan, making $4.5 million.
Can you get a haircut with that? That's the question.
He's looking a little shaggy.
Look like Kramer.
Are you kidding me?
He's looking like Kramer. Sixers come away with a win.
It's been a long road trip.
They're really,
yeah, it has.
They're 2-6, right? I mean, 2-6 since Embiid's been out.
2-4 on the trip.
And they're 2-4 in the trip. So it's a 7-game trip. You've got one more.
Going to end 2-5.
2-5. Honestly, 2-5 with all they're facing, I guess I'm not as bad as I would have expected. The Indiana game's the one that pissed me off because they could be sitting 3-3 right now.
Yeah, I mean, the teams out west are tough, no matter who you're playing. Last night, you get a win because of a great fourth quarter because Andre Drummond just owned the boards last night. So Sacramento was only getting one shot in the fourth quarter, and the Sixers were getting multiple possessions because of his offensive rebounding. So that's a good win last night. Not that it's a good team that you're playing against and it has an interim head coach, but just one that you needed to get. You just had to get a win there. And now you roll in and try to see what you can do before you come back here. Because that first game back here, even though it's Minnesota, I've told you guys this a thousand times, it is the hardest game coming back from the West Coast swing.
Why?
It's just, I don't know, comfortableness sets in, comfortability. You get back to your own bed. You're, oh, that road trip's over. Oh, I got to go play a game. Whatever it is, it's just, it's always a dicey play there.
If you think where you're at, Sixers are an 8 seed right now. But they've gotten past this real, without a win last night, that this road trip would have really sucked.
Yeah.
At a 10-8 now, you come home most likely 10-9 after the Warriors. They've been awesome.
Ridiculous.
But you kept your head above water, and then you build from there. And then you build on from there. I'm surprised, though, you know, you're sitting there with the same record as the Milwaukee Bucks. And if I told you, you would have been missing Joel Embiid for 8 games. You'd be missing other starters, your entire starting lineup last night in Sacramento.
Tobias missed at least 6 or 7.
And I told you Thanksgiving, that the Sixers would have the same record as the Milwaukee Bucks, you would have taken it.
Yeah.
Absolutely would take it.
And yeah. Ben Simmons has missed 18 now, I believe.
Is that 18?
Yeah.
10-8,
uh-huh.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Almost a quarter of the season.
And
he's killing them.
Is he okay, though? Is everything okay?
I don't know how, as a competitor, you can watch your team go out there with, like, essentially 6 or 7 guys for extended periods of a season and just watch it.
You just answered your question.
Maybe
said
I did.
As a competitor.
But, like, how do you watch that and be okay with yourself?
He doesn't care about others. He doesn't care about others.
Again, I'll go back to it. I don't know how much this guy wants to play basketball, if at all. I just don't. I've never seen anything like this. It's if it was something that has been alluded to about the mental, you know, aspects of it all, why wouldn't it come out?
Well, no, more? I mean, Rich Paul wouldn't have to be the one speaking of it.
Yeah, it's just it's a weird, strange thing. I really don't know if the guy likes playing basketball anymore.
I mean, you have to consider it. I mean, we've all played sports, and at some point, like, not playing is torture. Watching your team play without you is torture.
He doesn't care. I mean, there's nothing. And again, the medical stuff has not stepped forward. There is no explanation. He couldn't produce a doctor's
and check. Shams yesterday.
I'm tired of that narrative.
Shams said on the McAfee show he doesn't think he's ever going to wear his uniform again. Duh. Yeah, thanks.
And where's Shams doing? You can see a hand right up his back. As his shirt sort of ruffles. Right up his back.
I oddly think he still plays for this franchise.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm out on that.
I figured that out, Jamie. Because you keep saying,
I'm out on that.
You don't want him at all.
I backed out on that. You and I were of that belief that he would play.
I still think he does. They continue to fine him, and that's how you get him to react.
No, but I mean, he won't even step in the building. Huh? Like, he doesn't want to step in the building now. Doesn't want to show up. He's
such a disaster.
It triggers him to go to the Wells Fargo Center. I mean, now it doesn't go to St. Joe's.
I don't necessarily blame him for not stepping into the building if he's not playing. Like, if he's just sitting on the bench, I don't necessarily blame him for that.
But you have to. You're part of the team.
But he's not playing because of his own choosing.
Correct. It's his choosing to not be.
Yeah, so I'm saying, like, if he's not playing, like, I don't blame him for not going and sitting on the bench.
Well.
And I don't. I mean, all he'd get is yelled at. So I don't blame him.
I think it would be a disaster.
Oh, I think it would be a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah, but you can hide in the bowels of the stadium. Hide, right, you can work out. You can hit the gym.
Yeah,
you can do all sorts
of stuff. It doesn't have to
be. Taller as a point.
He doesn't have to be.
He doesn't have to show his face.
It's a good point.
But how coward? Seriously, how cowardly is it?
The
way he's conducting himself.
I tried to put myself in his shoes last night. And, you know, I'm sure he's watching. How do you watch that?
Is he?
I would have to think he's watching. If he's not watching, then there's the root of your problem. But, like, I would have to think he's watching. How do you just watch that, knowing you could help?
You know how athletes, rightfully or wrongfully, and coaches, they compare playing games to battles and, you know, we're going to war.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm sorry, did you not build friendships over the last few years with these guys at the very least? And you watch them go out there and struggle and you're not having an aching to get out there and help? It's like watching your friends being in a fight and you just, like, sit back.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Check out our friends at collegeab.com, College Ab Student Loans. If you're a fan of our show, take the Kincaid Club Personality Pop Quiz on the contest page and see which one of us you're most like. You could win a $100 Amazon gift card just for playing, and that could come in very handy here at the holidays. Get on out there and get yourself something done. Have you done any shopping?
Skylar's pretty much all done. Paige,
did you do that, or does your wife do that?
Me, mostly. She's told me to stop now, but I'm being the doting father.
But you're an Amazon do the shopping?
You know what's cool? Kohl's does Amazon returns, and they give you a $5 in-store coupon every time.
Really?
So I've gone to their toy department and grabbed a couple things when I make returns.
Pat, are you, has Santa put you on any shopping tours?
Not yet.
No?
We're getting there.
I got to do everybody
we
else,
actually,
though.
By the way, proud father moment. We went to a rally house on Saturday.
Love it.
And he was walking around, and he was pointing to all the things that he wanted.
Oh, good.
So,
What were the type of items he was looking at?
So there was a Sixers little basketball hoop that he wanted with, like, three different kind of basketballs. He wanted that. There was a Union soccer ball he wanted.
Skylar has that. The big puffy one?
Yeah.
It's great.
He wanted that.
We play all the time.
So, yeah, so I told him, look, we're going to meet Santa. You got to let him know, and hopefully he'll bring it.
We were at Rally House in Exton the other day, and after Olivia got done, I believe they're going to build a wing. As far as she's got champagne tastes. But I need Philly gear, Dad. Yeah, it's all that stuff. I need Philly gear.
Well, she does.
I need Flyer gear. I need Sixer gear. Unbelievable. Just taking me to the cleaners. Hey, someone cashed in yesterday, but did they cash in off like a really small sample size? We'll get to that next. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic.
Guys, I got to tell you, you have to enjoy football feast this Thanksgiving Day by winning $150 on just a $5 bet. When you join FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge. New customers, this is your chance to gobble up 30-1 odds. Just place your first bet on any professional football team to win Thanksgiving Day. Here's what I like this Thanksgiving. I like Chicago -3.5 at Detroit. I like Las Vegas getting the 7 from Dallas in Dallas. And I like Buffalo. Yeah, they're coming off a really bad loss. But I like them giving 4.5 to that horrible New Orleans team. There's my bets for this Thanksgiving. And FanDuel is sports betting made simple. And they're always hooking you up with great offers. When you win, you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. Sign up with promo code Bob to get in on the action. Celebrate Thanksgiving by winning $150 on just a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code Bob when you sign up exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 plus and present in Pennsylvania, new users only, $10 first deposit required, must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus $150, restrictions apply, see full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
The oddest version of the John Kincaid Show you've ever heard tomorrow morning. chance to win fabulous prizes, a party going on all morning in the show.
Yeah, I like parties.
Lots of weird interaction and something I will tell you about coming up today at 8 o'clock that you don't want
to take your pants off.
I don't know if that's going to be part of it.
That's certainly not part of the party.
I don't think that's going to be part of it.
No. And if it is, I'm out.
But, Pat, if that's what your, you know, that's what your plan is, it's a little bit odd.
I could bang a pumpkin pie.
Hopefully that's not part of it. Hopefully that's not part of it either.
8 o'clock hour.
Hopefully that is not going to be part of it.
Definitely don't want to see that.
The pumpkin pie on the pie hierarchy of Thanksgiving?
I think extremely overrated, but everybody do whatever you like.
Well, where is it on your pie chart? For
not even in the top 10.
Get a pie chart? Get
yeah,
it?
I go,
for
I go
for Thanksgiving.
You go wait, you're saying pumpkin pie is overrated?
To me.
Okay.
It's everybody has their own.
Okay,
palate.
So Pat, you go apple
apple's
one.
Apple's my number one.
Is pumpkin
I like an
two?
Apple pie.
No, pumpkin, that's probably, it's, well, I don't mind pumpkin. I'd probably just go apple.
I love blueberry really pie, but it's not really this time of year.
Yeah.
You're not a pie guy.
Not really, now that I think about it.
I'm a big lemon meringue guy.
I like lemon meringue pie.
Oh. But that's
I like
not
a good
Thanksgiving,
Boston,
is it?
No, it's not really.
No,
I like a Boston cream
any
pie.
I can't do Boston cream, can't do
what?
Meringue. Just can't.
Really?
Yeah, I'll bet that.
That was my birthday cake growing up. The only thing my mom did was buy a cake for me on my birthday, and she got me a Boston cream pie every year.
Doc's favorite pie cake was angel food cake.
Mm.
That was his favorite.
That's good stuff.
Now, my birthday's December 23rd, so sometimes parents can be a little scrambled. Betty made an angel food cake for my birthday 1 year. And I'm like,
this is Doc's
Tommy
cake.
Likes... angel food. Oh, now to Betty's credit, up in the great beyond, she changed it and made one for me.
It's a good
but
mom.
She had to go like redo it. But she had made one thinking, yeah, I made his cake. Oh, no, that's your favorite son. Your favorite son likes the angel food. So,
and we get some manna pie that's like a cheesecake with like chocolate drizzle and nuts on it.
Yeah, that doesn't sound bad.
Oh,
manna pie, you said the manna pie. Is that a brand again?
No,
it's you said it's for charity?
Yeah, it helps out homeless organizations in the area.
Okay, but it's like, but what does... So
I don't know.
Manna pies are all different kinds of...
Yeah, they have like three pies.
Okay.
I wish yeah. Pagano's was open, because the 1 year we did a broadcast down at the Pagano's in Center City.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I picked up an apple pie at Pagano's, and it was one of the best apple pies I've ever had.
Well, you can
it
do that incredible. At Reading Terminal Market on Wednesday.
Cinnamony?
Yeah.
Cinnamony? Because if it's not tart, if an apple pie is sweet and not tart, I don't like it.
It was like baked from the gods.
I like the lemon. I like the lemon juice in it. You know,
a lot
it's tangy.
A lot of pies need help. Like a pumpkin pie needs the Cool Whip.
To me,
an apple pie needs vanilla ice cream.
Yes.
You know, so, but like a lemon meringue can stand by its own.
Oof.
Yeah.
Don't do those.
Blueberry pie, you need something
blueberry
on there, too.
Blueberry pie's awesome.
It's got to be warm, too.
Cherry pie.
No, blueberry pie warm? See, I like it cold in the summer.
Any fruit pie warm, yes.
Oh, see, and I like it cold. Ice cold in the summer. Piece of pie.
In the summer,
pie.
Maybe, but Thanksgiving time, warm that baby up.
Is this Pie Report brought to you by...
There it is. Is it brought to you? Yes, it is. It's brought to you by our friends at PJ Wellhands.
They love
PJ
pie.
PJ Wellhands is awesome. If you're looking for the perfect blend of food, drinks, and fun... in a relaxed atmosphere, and this is no better week to do it. You got visitors coming to your house. You got guests in from out of town. You want to get them the hell out of the house. You don't want to have to cook. You go to PJ's and you hang out. You have a great time. Look no further than your local PJ's pub. Our favorite place for amazing wings. It's great. The Eagles signed TJ Edwards yesterday to a one-year contract extension for 2022. An undrafted free agent that is making a real impact. In fact, yesterday, just word searching TJ Edwards, he was getting talked about, like, even league-wide, people, analysts and everything talking about, wow, the impact TJ Edwards is making. So the Eagles lock him down for a one-year extension. That's great. But isn't this a short window of time that we've been talking about TJ Edwards?
Yeah.
Like 3 weeks?
Yeah, basically.
So I don't know what to think of it. I mean... it's such a short window of time. We've seen players like this in Eagles history before that come in, make a splash for a short period of time, and then...
it's probably just another long look at them. You get them cheap. Don't allow them to go to the market. You like them enough that you want to basically experiment for another year.
And $2.1 million or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's great for him.
Yeah.
That's life-changing money for him.
Sure.
I didn't mind it at all. I was like, okay, good. You're like Jamie said, audition him for another year because that's the mode that you're still in this year and probably next year. You're still going to be there with the draft picks and whatever you do in free agency. So for that little money, yeah, I'm cool.
I'm not against it. I'm just like...
It's a small sample.
If anyone had said to us, getting on the plane coming from Vegas, oh, the Eagles are going to... Eagles got to lock down T.J. Edwards' contract. Everyone would have been like, what?
So coaches talk throughout the league, right? It's a common fact that they talk throughout the league. Maybe, just maybe, somebody got in Nick Sirianni's ear, in Jonathan Gannon's ear, Howie Roseman's ear, a defensive coordinator from another team that's well-respected and say, boy, this guy T.J. Edwards, I think you might have something in him. And they said... Yeah, we might have thought that, but that put it over the top. Let's sign him for another year. It could have been that simple.
I've been very impressed. I mean, I'm not shortchanging what he's done in the
past
few weeks. But if you had told me on Halloween, got to sign T.J. Edwards, I would have went, why?
Yeah, no, not anything longer than what they did, I would have said why. But like I said, watching the game on Sunday, and they went to him when he was on the field and just showed him. Like they were showing, I don't know, some supreme linebacker.
Right.
We haven't seen that in Philadelphia in years.
Well, Schlereth was all over him the other day. I mean, as far as talking about him, how impressed he
and
was.
And Davion Taylor, he said he liked a lot also.
And he's been in the building for, is it three years? 3 years. They must like what he brings to the locker room and everything else. So
good stuff.
It's good, yeah. Get another look at him.
The linchpin, Jamie has a theory on what may have changed Nick Sirianni.
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, it comes to with the running game. Now, it's obvious, I think, why they changed, because what they were doing wasn't working. But I think there was a big influence in shifting to a running-based team. And that was the departure of Zach Ertz and the back-to-the-bench move of Andre Dillard. Neither were great blockers. Not great run blockers. Zach Ertz is... He tried. He tried. We'll say that.
It certainly... I don't think it was something that it showed he worked on.
Because
he never got better.
He got better one year, and then he kind of went back to what he was again. Andre Dillard, he's not good. He's not Jordan Mailata. Let's just say that.
Listen to you.
I'm trying to be polite here.
He's not good.
But I think once Ertz was gone, because Goddard's a phenomenal blocker for a tight end. He's really good at it.
Yeah.
And Jordan Mailata, we know what he is. And we know what Landon Dickerson and Jason Kelce is. Those three can get to the second level after dominating the first level. I think that was a big influence in why they've shifted. Because they were playing a lot of 12 personnel with Ertz, and he was a liability. And... In the run blocking game, that is.
He was.
And Jordan Mailata is just a different breed of tackle. So I think that has a lot to do with the emergence of the running game for the Eagles. Just kind of hit me yesterday, and I was like, yeah, you know, that might have something to do with it.
I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, I mean.
And it's not, it makes sense.
It's two of seven guys blocking.
Yeah, it's logical.
It's a big chunk of your blockers in run plays.
That there definitely was a shift in philosophy for this team, a distinct shift.
Yeah, I think things got simpler for Nick Sirianni when they did add by subtraction. I don't care who you are, you're a first-year head coach, you come in and you see a Zach Ertz there, how are you going to say, no, we're going to make him a secondary guy? That's hard to do.
Sure.
Right? Getting rid of Andre Dillard, Jamie, good point here. And you put in the other guy and say, you know what? No, we're just riding him. Jordan Mailata is our guy there at left tackle. Boom. I think there's a lot of substance to this. And you're right. They're watching, you know how ex-players put out all the tape that we watch, whether it be Orlovsky or Westbrook, whoever. Some of the Goddard blocking from Sunday was really, really good.
And I can tell you is that he's not the offensive weapon that Ertz is.
No.
Or was at that same point in his career.
But he might be more complete.
He's a more complete tight end.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, I love Zach Ertz, but when Dallas Goedert gets the ball in his hand, He's more of a threat to do things than Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz was a better catcher, no question, and better at getting open and more productive. But when Goddard gets the ball in his hands, the way he slips tackles and breaks through people, that's something you really didn't see. You know, that's just a different type of player than Zach Ertz.
It's a different player, right. Yeah. And again, no one's trashing Zach Ertz.
No.
It's just the idea.
He would tell you he's not a good blocker. You know what I mean? It is what it is. It's a glaring hole in his game.
They just flipping around the other day on the the ticket of all the different games, and they're going, well, the coaches are going to have been trying to get – they're going to work with Zach Ertz on being in the blocking game.
Good luck.
Good luck. It's not happening.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
It's fine.
But he's going to bring you so many other great things
that
it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
No. It's not going to matter. You're going to fall in love with all the other great things that he does.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting theory.
Yeah.
The weird thing is, though, did they hurt themselves, Pat, in the Dillard front, you think, by shelving Dillard? Because now you don't have a chance to see his market value go up. You don't have a chance to see him when they've needed these offensive pieces.
Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, I think the last time that they tried to switch him around to another position, it was an utter disaster. So I think that they'd rather go with the, look, you know, he played a couple games. He looked all right at his natural position. That's your tape. Then possibly risk it by putting him in other positions, and then he fails and he hurts his value even more. I mean,
that's not a bad thought at this point, you know?
When he didn't get traded at the deadline, it was like, well, there's no point of playing him at this point.
His value is what it is, which is he's more value. It's like Aaron Nola. He's more valuable to you than he is away from you.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer that you need a backup left tackle.
Yeah.
Because it's the most important position on the line. And then if you have another one or two guys that can be versatile and play guard, tackle, maybe even a center, then you're really, really looking good. But you need a backup left tackle in my mind.
Pat, is Dillard here next year?
He's got 1 year remaining, right?
I think
he just got one more.
I think he has 1 year remaining after this one.
I think they'll just ride him out.
Yeah,
it's also a Howie thing where he can say he was on the roster years after I drafted.
Well, and it's a cheap option.
Yes, one more year at $3.9 million.
Not bad. For that insurance policy.
Yeah. Done.
It's not a bad thing. Yeah, keep him around.
But he's not Jordan Mailata.
No.
No.
Not many people are.
No, not many.
I'm wondering, after all the things that I just talked about, the ex-players showing things on tape yesterday, I wonder if this guy's getting serious consideration for a Pro Bowl. And those kind of honors don't really matter to me. But why I bring it up is because it's his first full year starting, and maybe he's on the cusp of that. And you really wonder, wow, how good is this guy going to be?
There was one person on this show that believed that. One person.
Yeah, me Coach. Back in Australia in 2012 Coach. When I was watching his rugby games, Pat.
Okay, this is going to end up in a street brawl between the two of you.
That's not right, Jamie.
Trying to fight for custody.
Now, I don't own a jersey, so, you know, he's got me there.
He does. Well, that means
I don't buy jerseys, though.
Pat committed. You do not?
No, I got a Randall Kelly Green, and I'm done for life. I'm good.
So you're done with that?
Yeah. I bought a McNabb, and then he was gone. I bought a T.O., he was gone, and I was like, I'm flushing money down the toilet here.
There you go.
Can't keep doing this. Throwback and done with it.
There's the linchpin. Bob, you were talking about Howie tinkering. Now,
Not tinkling. We're talking. No. We got a lot of tinkle talk in my house these days.
No tinkling.
Yeah. Do they call it tinkle with girls?
Yes.
Do you have to tinkle?
It was called tinkling to me when I was potty training.
Well, you're a girl.
Yeah.
So there it is.
I sit down when I pee. Well, so what?
I think with the boys, I called it tinkle.
Pee-pee?
Girls, I don't know. With Jenna, did I call it? I say pee. And boys, it was tinkle. I don't know. I forget
what
it was.
Did you put the Cheerio in the bowl?
But let's stop talking about it.
Target practice.
Yeah. The Howie thing is with me, John, I was thinking of it yesterday, and we've seen all the numbers about Jalen Reagor over the last four games and what he's doing. And I said to you guys, I said, look, to me, it's just like, it doesn't look like he has any confidence to me out there.
None.
And look, there has to be talent there. Otherwise, so many people wouldn't have had him going in the first round. Yes, we can talk about he shouldn't have been taken where he was by the Eagles. That's fine. But there's talent there, and he's just not finding it right now. And any other player, if it's a second, third, fourth round pick that was made to be a starter on your team, didn't have this kind of production, I'm sorry, they would sit down. I mean, you have Greg Ward just sitting on the bench, and I'm not saying Greg Ward's great, but Greg Ward gets in there and produces. He's proven to be a decent slot receiver. that can do a little bit of something. Jalen Reagor's doing nothing right now. And I'm really afraid you're going to lose him totally. And he put something out on social media yesterday. I don't know if
that's
you guys
saw. That's a shocker. Jalen Reagor went to social media?
He said he alluded to the struggles. Did you see it, James?
Stephon Diggs, in his press conference yesterday, talked about mental wellness from an athlete's point of view. And he basically, I don't know if he quote tweeted it or retweeted it, and he said, like, they'll never understand.
Right.
Gotta take care of yourself before you can take care of anything, type of thing.
Yeah, alluding to that he might be going through something. Now, I'm not sitting here bashing Jalen Reagor, and I wasn't the other days before he said this.
You can bash him for his performance.
I can say that I don't think he has any confidence out on the football field right now. And it's been obvious to me, and I've been saying it for, what, 3 or 4 weeks now. He just doesn't seem to have confidence out there. So why do you have him out there? I understand he's a first-round pick, and I think that's where Howie gets involved here. No, you got to keep him out there, And Westbrook, like he said to us yesterday, taught us yesterday that you got to go 3 wide receiver sets so that other teams don't load 8 in the box when you're running the ball so much. But you got to get somebody capable out there. And right now, Greg Ward, to me, it seems like would be more capable, and I don't want to lose Jalen Reagor totally by putting him out there when he doesn't have any confidence in
himself. I got to tell you what's weird is that, Bob, and I think it's kindness in your part that you're worried about losing Jalen Reagor. Well, I'm worried about Jalen Reagor showing that he was in any way worthwhile.
I'm
frustrated. I'm frustrated having to watch him.
Yeah, sure.
And that's not compassionate to whatever he, how incomplete he feels like right now or whatever he's feeling. But I just don't feel his performance is pathetic.
Yeah, and it very well could be. He's not talented enough to be in this league. Right. It very well could be that. But what I'm seeing, I like you said, we all look at games differently. I see things differently, probably awkwardly, whatever. But that confidence thing really hit me a few weeks ago that he just doesn't seem to have it. When you stop running as a football player when contact is about to come, that reeks to me of not having confidence in yourself. So, yeah, to me, I see it mentally. We all see it physically, but I see it mentally too, and I wonder if they're going to lose him if they keep throwing him out there.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt he's going through some stuff. He's probably been elite his entire life. And now he's not on the verge of, I don't want to say being out of the league, but if he keeps performance level at what it is, I mean, he's not going to last in the league more than 5 years. So, yeah, he's probably going through, a spin cycle in his brain with his love. Because I don't doubt the kid loves football. He grew up as a son of a player.
Sure.
He's from Texas, played high school football in Texas, all that stuff. I'm sure he loves it, so he's probably struggling. His dad's gone to Twitter and trying to defend him some. I don't think that's going to help anything.
That's not smart.
I don't think that's going to help anything.
Every athlete has gone through this in every generation.
Yeah. But there was generations prior that would say, pour some Windex on it and move on. Rub some dirt on it and walk it off. It's a different time.
He sucks.
And for the better.
He sucks. Yeah, like I mean, play better.
I'm sorry if he's going through something. I really am. But he's in a better position set up in life than 95% of people his age, minimum.
Like, they continue to force feed him the football to try to get him going, and he can't because he's not very good. He can't get separation. He has more career games with negative yardage now than games with over 55 yards.
That's
55 yards. Think about what we're saying. 55 yards for an NFL wide receiver, that's commonplace. And he has more games with negative yardage.
That's a check mark game.
He's not good. He sucks.
If I was in Camp Reagor, I'd say, well, he's not targeted.
There's a reason, and I'd say there's a reason you're not targeted. Let's go to the tape.
We talked about it yesterday. If this is going to be a 20-pass offense and 6 or 7 are going to Devontae and 6 or 7 are going to Goddard, I mean, there's not much pie to go around.
But they continue to force-feed him.
But they're not. It was two plays.
Stupid play that they do every single week in the football.
When they see him on the field, every defensive coordinator goes, okay, well, they're doing their token plays to Reagor.
But that's a new trend in the NFL is the wide receiver getting running back-ish type plays. You saw it last night with Tampa Bay. A lot of teams are doing it now. So I don't consider that force-feeding. I consider that kind of staying with the times a little bit.
They continue to put him at punt returns. He's not very good.
He's a terrible punt returner.
I don't like him there.
He has no instincts.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, they're giving him opportunities. He's not seizing them.
I don't know where his instincts are.
That's what concerns me. Yeah,
like, as a football player, he doesn't appear to have good instincts.
Put the great phrase, putting his foot in the ground. You never see it with him. There's no cuts away from
him.
It's a run, get out of bounds. It's a run, here comes the defense, pitter-patter, get tackled. There just doesn't seem to be any amount of confidence around
him
right now.
Oh, there's a lot of pitter-patter.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. So just some of the challenges that the Eagles are facing this year. I can tell you this, a revenge game lies ahead. And don't undersell this, because in pro sports, this is really a thing. It's the John Kincaid Show. Day before our Thanksgiving feast tomorrow, which is going to be one of the weirdest shows you've ever heard on the John Kincaid Show. We'll tell you more about it coming up at 8 here on 97.5 The Fanatic. I love the Park Sportsbook app. I love that there are so many different ways that I can get involved and get engaged with games. And that, to me, is a big part of it. If I'm watching a game now, having the Sportsbook app allows me to feel like I've got a little stake in the game. And right now, there's a $500 risk-free bet for you with the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Up to $500, you can get a risk-free bet refunded in site credit should you lose. Go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use promo code Kincaid. You get that $500 risk-free bet, or you download the app today. With Thanksgiving Day, what a perfect time for you to set yourself up. Take advantage of the free wager. Look at the NFL slate of games. And then you're going to be looking at college football action all weekend. Big rivalry weekend ahead. And then, of course, you've got the Sixers. The Flyers playing. Flyers playing tonight and tomorrow. Sixers playing tomorrow. And it's going to be a great week. So here's what you get. You get the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Get involved today and tell them John Kincaid sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I love those J-I-N-G-L-E bells. Oh, those
never heard this.
Really?
Yes, you did.
No, I've never heard this.
Frank?
I've never heard this.
Frank Stallone?
This is Frank Sinatra.
Wait a minute, let me hear the word when Frank comes.
Here he comes.
Jingle bells. Okay, I've heard Frank. Yeah, I never heard that part of it. Wow. I love Rat Pack.
Oh,
if I could go back in time, you send me, when you heard people go, oh, I want to go to a concert or something, you send me back in the time machine. I want to be in the 60s. I want to be in the old Sands or one of those desert casinos there on the strip.
Uh-huh.
And I want to see the Rat Pack with Frank and Sammy and Dean Martin. I would absolutely, like, that would be it for me. Hear Frank Sinatra just sitting on a stool, entertaining, having conversations. Dean Martin, by the way, never drank during the show. And he always had the brown.
Yeah.
He always had the brown glass. He
drank plenty before and
acted
after.
Like, and acted like he was, but during the show, he would just have some iced tea in there.
Sinatra died like a month and a half after my dad. And I think my mom was more upset about Sinatra.
Betty skipped school to see Sinatra.
Yeah.
In fact, she ditched out of Radnor High School.
Everybody
and
should
skipped
do that.
School. You think that? You really do think that?
Well, look, she told you about it her whole life.
Yeah. Oh, she did.
Is she going to tell you about that random Thursday
now,
in school?
Wait a minute, though. She didn't go with her parents.
Yeah.
She just skipped school.
Yeah. Everybody should skip to go do something awesome like
sure.
that.
Sure.
See, that's great.
Absolutely.
See, now I've told Olivia, I said, I don't care when you, it's her senior year, and now her first trimester's done. So now it's like pretty much home free.
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, if you don't want to go to school, it's always been like, in our house, it's you go to school. Get up, get your butt, go to school.
Sure.
But I said, if you don't feel like going to school one day, you're not really feeling into it, just tell your mom you don't want to go to school and say dad gives you the vote. And it's like, Christina's like, thanks. Thanks a lot. I'm like, no, she should.
Yeah, she earned it.
Christina didn't have to go to school. She was one day, her senior year, her dad let her skip school so much, she was one day from where she couldn't graduate.
Oh, man.
Like, there was a certain amount of days. She was one day from it. I said, what if you had gotten really sick? She's like, I didn't think about it that way. She was in Miami, and she went to the beach. She went down to the beach, so she thought, why am I going to go to school?
Yeah.
I'm already in my college. I'm going to do that and take care of business. So, hey, my sportsbook app of choice is the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download it at parkscasino.com/PA. Use promo code Fanatic. Wearing the Sixers gear today after the big win last night with the starting lineup being entirely out. And the Sixers come away with a victory at Sacramento. That's a nice win.
It's kind of, I don't want to say must win by any means, but it's good for the psyche of the team.
For that trip,
to grab a win, yeah. You know, you have a chance of finishing this 6-game road trip at 3-3 if you can somehow beat Golden State, but I don't think that's going to happen. So a 2-4 road trip. You wish you would have gotten that Indiana game, maybe.
Well, if they won the Indiana game, they'd be sitting 3-3 today, and you'd be going, who cares? You know, you're not expected to win at Golden State.
Might no, happen. Yeah, so, you know, Andre Drummond last night comes out with 23 rebounds. In the fourth quarter, he just owned the boards. He didn't let Sacramento get second shots, and he allowed the Sixers to get a lot of second shots. They got some key baskets, Milton and Maxey, of course. It was just a good pull-it-out-of-your-butt win for the Sixers last night. That's how I'll describe it.
Andre Drummond like right now. Now, it's only, what, 18 games? 18 games.
Yeah.
Andre Drummond is a huge upgrade over Dwight Howard.
Yeah, he's great. I still can't believe they got him for as cheap as they did.
I don't understand. I'll never understand it.
It's his money year. He didn't have any big offers coming out, so he decided to come to a place where he could get good backup minutes, knowing Joel Embiid's probably going to miss 15 to 20 games, a place where he can put up numbers. Yeah,
he's friends with Doc.
I was talking to a guy in the league, and he said, oh, yeah, it's absolutely his money year. Everybody knows it.
Hey, you know, protect your home with Dri-Tech Waterproofing Solutions. Fanatic listeners get 15% off when they mention Mike Missinelli. If you got water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation is necessary, trust the experts at Dri-Tech. That's DriTechCorp.com. A huge announcement coming up in like 10 minutes about why you want to hang with the Fanatic. All next week, it is going to be a very, very special week. And wait till you hear what we got planned for you tomorrow on the John Kincaid Show. We'll have that coming up for you. Plus, speak for yourself with Bob Cooney around 7:42 or so.
Take your pants off.
So make sure you're there. This is the first revenge game of Nick Sirianni's Eagles career. And no, he hasn't coached against the Giants yet. But it's still a revenge game, and it's a dangerous spot. It's a beef over something that he had nothing to do with. Nothing annoys me worse in life than a feud that I'm pulled into that I didn't like light the fuse on. Joe Judge is still pissed about the Eagles and what happened in the last game last year. And Pat, if we can hear that audio of Joe Judge after the final game last year and what he thought of the Eagles throwing the game to let Washington go to the postseason. Come on, Joe. I guess Joe didn't want to talk to us. We are going to let you hear.
He's
Joe.
Busy taking the blame for last
Joe,
night.
Come on, Joe. Tell us what you think.
He was a little reclamped.
Okay.
Choked up.
Now he's okay?
We got it.
Do we? Maybe we don't.
It's getting hot,
well,
man.
There you go. Look.
You got me going.
Our equipment is just not.
Okay, it's not working with you?
It's not working
for okay,
me.
Okay, so it's not. Okay.
You got any gum?
Well, the Eagles threw a game in order to go from the 9th pick in the draft to the 6th pick in the draft. That was the difference. They would have picked 9th, they got 6th. Because of the fact that Doug Peterson rolled over. And Doug, by the way, we will always love you for that. It kept the Giants out of the playoffs. And compound that by the Eagles trading back from 6 to 12, one spot behind the Giants, and then Howie shrewdly moving up to 10 because the word was that the New York Giants wanted to grab Devontae Smith. Howie pissed them off. Doug Peterson pissed them off. And, I mean, they hate Howie Roseman so much in New York, it almost seems like Egan and Jamie are up there. I love these type of games. I love grudge matches. And if I was the Eagles, despite what I saw last night, I'd expect to get the Giants' best shot. the best they have to offer on Sunday. Don't chuckle. I think it's going to be a real struggle on Sunday because this team's going to remember that. There's going to be pride at some point that shows with this Giants team, and I think Sunday's going to be it.
Yeah. Does it get negated by this team, by the Giants team, lack of trust in their head coach, though?
Seems that way.
You know, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to play out. Look, I think at this time of the year, yeah, you're still getting everybody's best shot. I don't think teams have packed it in quite yet. But in Judge, I really do wonder, and after what he said last night after the game that you pointed out, John,
it's all
saying that it's on the coaching staff.
Yeah.
I wonder how much this team is believing in him. And look, that takes a half a step away from you sometimes. As much as you're a professional and you go to the, you know, stadium to play as hard as you can every week on that Sunday, whatever it is, when you have doubts in your coach and what they're trying to accomplish, human nature does set in it sometimes, and it might be a little bit hard for you to go all in.
It's a division game, so they're usually always tough. But pride can only carry you so far when somebody punches you in the mouth. And this Eagles team
is going to punch them in the mouth.
Is going to, yeah, punch them in the mouth and then throw them on the ground and probably sit on them. Like they're beating teams up right now. I don't want to say like I've never seen an Eagles team do, but what this offensive line is doing to people right now is silly. I mean, it really is. They're manhandling grown men, and I don't think any amount of pride is going to get in the way of that.
It's disheartening.
Yeah,
what the Eagles are doing is disheartening.
It takes your soul out when you're just getting out physical like that. Hope goes quickly.
I mean, they were tossing around. I'm sorry, Pat. They were tossing around not little guys.
No, Davenport's
6'8", 270, and he looked like a rag doll to Jordan Mailata.
No, he did, and they were even. I don't know if anybody was watching last night on pregame of the that long pregame they do leading up to Monday Night Football. They talked about the Eagles being one of the teams that everybody's got to keep their eyes on because it's just what they're doing is like it's like a switch was flipped.
Yeah, and if I'm Sirianni, I counter their pride move with pride of our own. Look, this team hates us. They want to come in here and give us their best shot. We tanked one on purpose last year. Now let's go kick their ass. Like, I think you can match their pride with your own pride on Sunday. I actually, my early gut tells me this could be a bloodbath.
Wow.
I find it adorable that they are going to come in and do the whole, well, they kept us out of the playoffs and they ruined my kid's Christmas and, you know, we got to get them back. This isn't a Disney movie.
Was that the JoJo soundbite?
I kind of like that voice.
That sounded like JoJo soundbite.
This isn't a Disney movie, okay? This isn't how it works where you get your ass kicked in the first part of the movie and then they come back and you got a couple kids in New Jerseys and all of a sudden you scrap your way to a win. This is real life. And in real life, this offensive line destroys the New York Giants. Daniel Jones is going to be Daniel Jones. For whatever you think about Jalen Hurts, he's actually progressed. Where Daniel Jones has continued to stay stagnant.
He's the second best quarterback in the division.
You know what's weird?
I feel confident saying that.
You know what's weird with Daniel Jones? It was, by the way, I liked the pick coming out of college, so I'll raise my hand.
Oh, I did too.
I really liked him, and I had seen him play quite often.
It wasn't about him. It was why did you trade up to get him?
Well, I also, again,
I don't think anybody was taking him.
That was my gripe. What are you doing? The Redskins took
sixth?
The Redskins took
Ohio State kid.
At 15?
They were Dwayne Haskins.
At 15?
I thought it was 12.
Okay, whatever it was. I just thought, I will not buy something. If I know it's worth $40, I'm not paying 60. I'm just not. I'm not going to do that. And I think that's what they did with Daniel Jones. They could have picked up extra picks. They got nervous. I think they got nervous that Washington was going to take him. And boy, Dwayne Haskins. Is he backing up?
He's on Pittsburgh. Yeah.
He's third string in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And by the way, I thought he would be better than that also. I wasn't as high as him as it was Daniel Jones.
He got picked because Daniel Snyder's kids were friends with him.
Is that true?
Yeah, that came out. The Athletic did a piece about it, about how Daniel Snyder became kind of obsessed with him because his kids went to high school with him or something.
Well, also, too, remember Urban Meyer coming into visiting for a game, and he was up in Daniel Snyder's box, And I think he got talked up about Dwayne Haskins, too.
Well, this Daniel Snyder Creep Report is brought to you by PropSwap. PropSwappers are finding the best odds in the country because they're buying directly from other bettors like me and you. So go to PropSwap.com and download the free app.
Okay, that was a little...
It was late. It was 6:45 on the paper, so I was worried about getting it in.
Okay, that's good.
Sometimes when you're worried about getting in, you just gotta do it. Yeah.
You just gotta do that?
Yeah. And Daniel Snyder is a creep.
Yeah.
Anybody that forces people to call him Mr. Snyder. Did I tell you the story about I know somebody that hosted him for a party and he showed up at the door with his security guards and basically didn't even say hello himself. His security guards handed the host a card that said, like, please refer to me as Mr. Snyder.
What?
Like, what the hell?
Now, the weird thing is, in the old Spectrum, nobody called Ed Snyder Ed, and I've talked to Bob about that. I saw grown men call Mr. Snyder Mr. Snyder.
Did he demand that?
I don't know.
Or did it just happen?
All the old Flyers would refer to him as Ed Snyder. Mr. Snyder, I mean.
Yeah.
They would refer to him as Mr. Snyder.
If it's something that happens, it's fine. But if you tell people...
That's weird.
...refer to me as Mr. Snyder...
That's weird.
That's weird.
It just is a... That's a strange flex.
Yeah. I know.
I want to be referred to as Mr. Snyder.
Most people got it. Yeah, he got it out of respect, I think.
Yeah.
It wasn't that
Mr. Snyder got it.
I think I told you, when I was covering the Sixers, he came over, and we had talked through the years, but probably by phone usually. He came over and said, hey, Bob, Ed Snyder, and not that he had to introduce himself, but he introduced himself as Ed Snyder. He didn't introduce himself as Mr. Snyder.
Hey, the Park Sportsbook app's got a great offer for you, and you might want to use it before the Thanksgiving games. New customers sign up now, get your first bet risk-free, up to $500. Go to parkscasino.com/PA, download the app. Use the promo code Kincaid. You got to be 21 in Pennsylvania. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. Will you partake in wagering on all the Thanksgiving games?
You have to.
Yes. I do, too.
I will do a parlay with all three games, and then I'll probably bet each one individually.
I will bet on every single game.
Yeah,
because
you have
to. Thanksgiving.
It gives you something to do because generally the games suck.
This is my first one being able to, remember, this is still my inaugural year of having a sports betting app.
Yeah.
Living on the set of Footloose for the last 25 years. You know, it's interesting to be able to have that dynamic. To be able to get in there and get in on all that. So we have a big week coming up for you next week on The Fanatic. Here's what's coming for you. It'll be Sweets Week. Now, a lot of you here in November, you think Sweeps Week.
Is that what you said? Sweeps or Sweets?
Now, this is Sweets, Bob.
Oh, Sweets.
And it's a sweet deal for you. Starting Monday, listen every morning for your chance to join us, the John Kincaid Show crew, in a luxury catered suite at a Sixers game. But there's more. Listen every afternoon to win tickets with the Mike Missanelli Show to go view a game in a luxury suite at a Flyers game. It all starts this Monday, November the 29th. Listen all week for details on how you can win. Sweets Week begins next week. That's one of my favorites on The Price is Right, when they would play this music. You don't like this?
Horrible.
You don't like The Price is Right music?
It reminds me of being sick as a kid. I don't like Price is Right.
I love going to school. Mm. I'm Joe Judge.
I miss being in the gym that day.
I love playing basketball.
Oh, man.
Bob Barker.
Like that.
Don't like being sick. Mm. I'm Bob Cooney.
I don't like ginger ale either, because my mom would give it to me when I was sick.
Oh, boy.
I like going to school.
Too much.
Hanging with my bros.
The bros.
I miss Rock and Tim.
By the way, Blake sent an email. Blake McGeehan sends us some stuff.
Guys got some balls today, don't you?
Blake was talking about us in the coaching tree discussion, and he says, did you guys mean the Belichick tree, not Parcells?
Well, Belichick falls under Parcells, doesn't he?
The trees, those guys worked for Belichick. Belichick did work for Parcells, but that doesn't count.
Yeah, McDaniels doesn't
go
under Parcells.
It doesn't count as being the Parcells tree.
Joe Judge goes under Belichick.
He's under the Belichick tree.
Yeah.
So you got to say each tree counts by...
I tried to look up Parcells. Outside of Belichick, it's not impressive.
Like, when you get Belichick, though, that's really pretty
awesome. That's a pretty big one.
That's a pretty good one to get. The fact that...
The Patriots could be the one seed in the AFC pretty soon.
I think the best is the Mike Holmgren tree.
That's a phenomenal
one. That's pretty good, yeah.
Andy Reid... John Gruden, Steve Mariucci, I'm trying to think of who else. Ray Rhodes, I believe, maybe?
Yep.
is also on that.
Now, Nick Saban falls under Belichick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Nick Saban was...
Yeah, but
he wasn't with Parcells pre-Belichick head coach, no, was
Nick
he?
Nick Saban's cup of coffee.
No, Saban was the secondaries coach on Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Okay.
No, and then he was head coach, you know, in Michigan State, then LSU, then Miami.
Yep. Everyone forgets about Miami.
And he told the... And I've had Nick say it because I'm like, why'd you leave the NFL so quick? He said flat out, if the Drew Brees trade had gone through, he said, I never would have left Miami. He said they were trying to get a trade for Drew Brees. Nick Saban wanted Drew Brees. The deal was all but done that he was going to be a Dolphin. And the Miami medical team would not clear Drew Brees' shoulder.
And then they got Dante Culpepper. That worked out.
Got the purple drink.
That worked out
they
pretty well.
They got the purple drink with Dante Culpepper. You ever partake in the purple drink?
Never did.
No.
No?
No.
Supposedly.
Which on like purple Gatorade?
Black cherry
wishbone. Supposedly big with the kids. No, it's like drinking like Robitussin.
It's like cough syrup and cough syrup.
Yeah, it's like not good.
Let's not
give
the recipe out.
In Cooney's Corner, Nick Sirianni, Bob thinks, needs a side piece.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Now, Mr. Sirianni's listening. Just wait for the segment.
Yeah,
don't get excited.
So, look, as a head coach, you're never satisfied with where you are. Okay, you may be having success, but you're always looking for more. You're always looking to get better. You're always looking ahead.
Sure, our coaches
because there's
never.
Always somebody better. Coaches like that
coaches
also.
Coaches like that, very
yes.
much.
Yes. So, this run game is phenomenal. They have an identity. It's unstoppable right now. It is what everyone in the league fears when they play the Philadelphia Eagles. However, if you're Nick Sirianni, I'm wondering, and you're looking ahead... And coaches say they don't do that, but he's put this team in a position that they might be a playoff team, that they might be able to move forward in a way that they didn't think they were going to earlier in the year. If that is the case, you need something more than just a running game. You're going to have a little bit more to your identity than running for 240 yards a game because teams are going to design to stop that. Is it time for Nick Sirianni to start looking ahead and saying, you know what? We need to try this a little bit more. It sounds crazy. I know.
Why
mess with a winning formula?
Yes.
However, you do have to look ahead to try to get a little bit more out of the offense than what you're getting. What you're getting is great. Is there something more that you can implement in the passing game or something different that you can implement in the passing game that may get teams a little more off guard? Planning for the future. They know what you are right now. Do you need a little bit more?
Yes.
While I agree, Jamie, yes. But when you are you're a team that thinks you want to make a postseason run at a wild card spot, do dance with what brung you to respectability first, before you start tinkering. Like, because you're not winning a Super Bowl this year. You're not.
No, you know, question.
So go on out there and win as many games as you can by the style that you've learned to win them.
Yeah, I love the challenge of it. All right, I've come up with something that's phenomenal, and that's a run game and an offensive line that just beats the crap out of people. That's terrific. If I was a head coach and looking forward, knowing the teams are going to start doing things to specifically stop the run, I don't know. I might want to sprinkle in a little... I was going to say tinkle. I want to sprinkle in a little stuff that makes them think.
Yeah, like I'm not getting away from being a run...
No, not at all.
Well,
heavy
then that's
or
fine.
Dominant offense, but... I do think you need more than like 20 throws a game.
They have no secondary identity besides the running game right now. Nothing. Like, they don't have a good screen game. They don't have a good intermediate game. They have no deep game. I had a buddy at the game the other day that said it's unbelievable. They never throw between the hashes. They don't even look to throw between the hashes.
No.
So there's a lot there in the passing game.
And
not saying you
have
to overly pass it. Probably because they don't trust their quarterback.
You don't trust the arm.
Exactly. So is there something that you do need to just kind of implement? A little side piece to say, okay, we have this great thing, but we also have this that you got to watch out for.
I think in the first year, I'm sort of okay, whatever's going to put a win in the win column for Nick, if I'm Nick Sirianni. I want to get out of this first year. If I can come out of this first year with a winning record,
oh yeah,
dude,
I'm set for 4 or 5 years.
I've done a great job.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, though.
By the way, we missed one on the Belichick tree.
Who's that?
Pretty big one. Sean Payton.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Payton's good.
Wait a minute, though. Sean Payton was also...
He was an assistant under Parcells.
So he's on the Parcells
team. Yeah,
he found Tony Parcells Romo. And Belichick.
He has 17 assistants that turned into head coaches.
Oh, my. It's incredible.
It's all right.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
I mean, those two are good, but the rest kind of suck. So, I mean, Todd Bowles was okay, but...
Yeah, no, he wasn't.
Yeah, as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, but it's a
Romeo Crennel's a good defensive coordinator. As
yeah, Freddie Kitchens,
terrible.
Anthony Lynn.
Freddie
Mike
Kitchens was terrible.
Actually, Mike Zimmer counts. He's solid.
Mike Zimmer's okay, sure.
Yeah, he's solid.
All right, the big challenge that awaits you when you go to Florida. We'll talk about that next. Remember, Sweets Week, next week, right here on the John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. How long have you lived in your house? If it's over 10 years, 12 years, you're pushing it with your water heater. And you've heard me tell you about my friends at Bradford White Water Heaters. Ron Jaworski's told you for years that they are built to be the best. You're not going to find a Bradford White water heater, though, when you go to the big box retail stores. But you need one. And they're available only through plumbing and heating professionals. Bradford White says, look, we want these things installed professionally by the best in the business to ensure top performance and reliability. So they use plumbing and heating professionals in your community to deliver the Bradford White experience to you. Visit BradfordWhite.com today. You've been sitting on that water heater for 10, 12 years or more. You're pushing it. Remember, you don't always need a new water heater. But the day you do, if you don't want to be a forward thinker, you're going to think Bradford White. So do what we did. Choose Bradford White. Learn more and find a local pro today at BradfordWhite.com and tell them the Kincaid sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
There you go. John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. Got to turn on that mic, John.
It's a big part of the job, yeah.
It really is. Hey, the Park Sportsbook app's a big part of the job, too. Great new offer for you. Sign up now. Get a risk-free bet up to $500. Go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use the promo code Kincaid. You got to be 21, and if you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There you go.
Interesting, Jamie, that you said three-team parlay on
Turkey Day parlay.
So you just
every year, yeah.
Now you just do money lines?
I'll vary, you know, maybe a money line, maybe a spread, maybe an over under.
Seven same game parlays cashed this year Park Sportsbook app. But that's the same game parlay.
I had an anytime touchdown score parlay that just missed because of Miles Sanders on Sunday, a five teamer.
Pat, if I'm gonna do something like a three team on Thanksgiving, I think I'm going money line. Just the winners.
I did money line, and then I also did alternative spread. So, like, if the spread is 9,
right,
you know, I ended up buying points. But I ended up winning yesterday. I did a UFC and then a NFL combo parlay.
So you do win some of the big UFC bets.
I did, yeah. So I needed the Bucks to win -9.
Okay.
I ended up hedging it.
I lost last night a $10 bet. But,
yeah, they ended up winning. So
the over.
I ended up cashing in.
Thanks, Daniel Jones, you idiot.
I also had the same game parlay, though. I did do one of, like, Brady over 1.5 touchdowns, Chris Godwin getting a touchdown, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans over with their yardage, and then the Bucks to win.
I had Giants +11 in the under.
Well, then you're a loser.
The Giants 12-3 against the spread in the under on the road. And yeah, I thought, wow, this is really, it's going to work out.
Yeah.
When it was 10-10, I was feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I was getting a little dicey because I had Tampa with giving the 10.5, and I felt a little dicey there for a while. Brady screwed me by going over the set number for
what's
him,
with all the turnovers with Tom Brady?
Yeah, I don't know. And they're not good turnovers. And
no,
the first one, line of scrimmage. The first one, Mike Evans bobbled, though, and put it right up in the air. Like,
yeah,
that wasn't on him.
Tom just doesn't look. I mean, he's never turned the ball over like this.
This is different.
He looks erratic. Wolf, speak for yourself.
He'll
with Bob Cooney coming up. I mean, yeah, he can flick a switch, but at some point, the switch can't be flipped. It happens for everybody. I think it's already, I tell you this, and I've had a couple people already giving it on me. Oh, man, you're writing off Russell Wilson. I said, I'm not writing off Russell Wilson, but I don't think Russell Wilson looks like an elite quarterback.
No, it could be an anomaly. I mean,
last 2 years, I don't think he looks like an elite quarterback that much.
Yeah, the injury this year had to come into play. You know, he's coming back from that quickly, but he didn't look all that good before the injury either. But rolling the dice with him, I think I'd still do it without hesitation.
Oh, I would.
Yeah.
I'd hesitate. Unless I'm talking about, like, dealing the Colts pick or something. I'm not dealing a... If the Giants... There'd be nothing better than if they were willing to give up like the four. Right now, the Giants are sitting with the 5th and the 7th pick in the draft.
You don't want to play Russell Wilson twice a year.
No, I don't want to play him twice a year with the Giants, but I absolutely would not. I would love
I'd rather
see
they
the
just
Giants
screw up another draft pick.
Yeah, I could do that.
Why? They have a good
Matt
track
Corral,
record of it.
Because Corral's going to go to the. Corral may go to the Lions.
Malik Willis, probably.
Who else is going to go at the top?
Malik
that
Willis.
Needs a quarter, that needs a quarterback.
Oh. Detroit.
Did Wire said that?
Detroit.
Detroit's going to go with one. So, I mean, remember, too, the Eagles are not what we thought.
Miami's
going to get one.
Don't they have San Fran?
They have San Fran, but
it's
they're not going to get
the Jets, Jacksonville, they're out. Houston needs one.
Houston needs one.
And then it's Giants as of right now.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, what we thought is 3 first-round picks. Boy, the Eagles are going to control this draft. No, they aren't.
It's still 3 in the top 20. It's pretty awesome.
You're still
awesome.
Not controlling the... The Giants and the Jets are each going to have 2 picks before you pick 1.
Yeah, so what? They suck.
No, but I mean, they control the draft.
Yeah,
the Eagles have no control over the draft.
But if you draft 3 starters...
Oh, that'd be great.
Then...
It'd be great, but you just don't have... You're going to just see those delicious, tasty pieces dropping off the board ahead of you. That the premium items are going to be gone right now.
Well, the caviar, yeah, but I mean, you could still get like a really good filet mignon with
absolutely.
Some crab meat and hollandaise sauce. Absolutely,
that sounds very like specific on your part.
I think we were doing a menu for a little dinner party we're having on Saturday.
Wow,
night, so that's why it was like, in the
how about
top
some
of
crab
my
cakes?
Head.
Kyle Hamilton could be there at number 9.
Could be. Yeah, he might be.
Yeah,
I think it's a little. I think he's gone before then.
I mean, probably, but we'll see.
Hey, Lowe's Pro-vember event ends November 24th. So that comes up tomorrow. Get top values on pro brands like DeWalt and Spyder. It's Lowe's, the new home for pros, U.S. only. Flyers about to go back-to-back in Florida. First versus the 2-time Stanley Cup champs, who they just can't beat. They got a point against them the other night, but they just cannot beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. That'd be nice if they were able to do that tonight. And then they get the Panthers at the Outlet Mall tomorrow night. Those are two really good teams. Those are two teams that are better than the Flyers.
Yeah.
The Florida Panthers and Tampa. You'd love to see if they could come away with one of them. They'll probably only play their best goalie in one of them because it's a back-to-back. And do you know the Carter Hart's legs will fall off? If you play him in back-to-back games... His legs fall off. It's proven.
That, yeah.
It's proven. Analytics say it.
Your
legs will fall off.
If he has a really good game in the first game on tonight, I think he goes tomorrow. I think AV's going to change it up and he's going to send him out there tomorrow.
I don't want to see a Jones game.
Well,
on
you're
Friday
get
when
Jones
I'm going
on Friday afternoon.
I don't
want to
see the
home.
Jones game.
Yeah, if for some reason Carter Hart, not some reason, but if Carter Hart plays really really well tonight. I think you throw him out there again.
Pat, I think it's already predetermined that Carter Hart won't play against the Florida Panthers.
I don't think it's predetermined at all.
So you do believe he could go back-to-back?
Depends on how tonight goes. But yeah, I think Boston was a good spot for Martin Jones to play because Boston is not a good team. Now, that game didn't go your way.
They're still favored over the Flyers.
Look, it didn't go your way, but it's still a very beatable team with your backup goaltender. Florida's different. Both these teams are good. So
they're really good.
I would play him back to back. Eventually, you're going to have to play him back to back. You can't keep going with this wussification of the goaltending position. I mean,
it seems like AV's bought into it, and it disappoints me greatly.
I don't quite get it.
I can't wait till we get him on the air and are able to talk to him about it.
Yeah, ask the tough questions, as the people say.
Not that tough question.
We're going to ask him the tough.
What are you doing? What the hell are you doing?
That's the tough question.
You got your what's this new analytics? Goaltender's legs fall off.
I mean, this is a guy, too, that...
How old is Carter Hart? 22? 23.
Yeah, I think he's 23. I mean, when he was in Vancouver, he had Roberto Luongo and Corey Schneider, and he kind of rode that goalie tandem. So he does believe in goalie tandems a little bit, but I'm with you. I don't quite get it.
And I'm an AV believer, by the way.
Yeah, I think he's a really good coach, but I would absolutely play them both back-to-back.
Hope he's listening. Hope he's listening to get this free advice.
He's a big fan.
I think big advice.
I do think, though, if they end up beating Tampa Bay today, that Martin Jones will probably go in Florida. If you end up losing to Tampa Bay, then that's why I think Carter Hart goes.
Okay. I'm going to tell you, I think it's predetermined.
I think matter what the outcome tonight, if Carter Hart plays well, I think you go with him tomorrow night.
All right. We're going to find out about that after the weekend. So you do believe that he's going to do... I think it's predetermined.
If he plays... Yeah, I agree with you, but I think if he plays well tonight, you should just ride it again. You want to see him against...
That makes logical sense.
The top talent in the
absolutely.
In the East.
It
does.
It just... it frustrates me. Somebody got into people's heads and said, well, there's a stat that says that you shouldn't play golf.
Wait, you promised...
No, I didn't. I didn't make no such promise.
Well, please do.
Stat nerds.
It's probably more sports science than analytics there.
It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. I would point to every Hall of Fame goaltender that would play 70 games of an 80, of an 82, 68 games, 66 games. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
What's the on
There's
pace?
Nothing has changed. In fact,
what's the on pace for?
In fact, athletes are better today than they were 20 years ago, 40 years ago. They're in better shape. They're better trained, so they should be able to play more, not less.
Well, they're trained more, too. Think about it. Bernie Parent's offseason was Bernie Parent being off the skates.
Absolutely.
That ain't the case anymore. These guys are going at it 24-7, you know, so that could be part of the case. It's not so much an 82-game season that is the cycle of that we're looking at. It's a yearly thing because these guys train all year round now. So I guess that comes into play when it comes to basketball and hockey and you're doing the, you know, the load management stuff.
Load management. Pat, how much does the Olympics play into it?
A little bit. I mean, I don't think NHL teams want their guys going to the Olympics if you gave them truth serum because of everything that you guys talked about with the workload.
No.
But Carter Hart is probably going to be a goaltender for Team Canada.
Yep.
And I think that does play into it. I didn't thought about it, but yeah, it makes sense.
I think it's probably AV probably thinking about that. Let's get to Speak for Yourself.
And now it's time for Bob Cooney's Speak for Yourself. Here's Bob.
All right. Nick Sirianni was pretty quick yesterday. There wasn't a lot of diarrhea of the mouth.
No,
even after a win, which
concise.
He usually does. Yeah, so he only sat on the podium, I think it was about 15 minutes from what I watched yesterday. But one of the first questions he was asked, it was about the newly signed linebacker, the talk of the day, TJ Edwards.
He's playing really good football right now, so excited to have him locked up for next year. And as far as what we're asking him to do, like, you know, just be around the ball, be physical to the football. When you watch TJ come after the ball, you know, he's getting some production in the pass game, but when you watch him come and get an attempt at the tackle, he's always punching at the ball.
And that was a point of emphasis during this offseason. Remember, we were told by Jonathan Gannon and Nick Sirianni that they were going to go after the ball defensively. They were going to look to punch the ball, tackle at the same time, but while they're tackling, look to punch with one of the arms. TJ Edwards does that pretty well, and he showed it again on Sunday. And it's really the first couple of times over the last few weeks that we've really seen it this year. I think it's a confidence thing. Your confidence in your tackling, now you can get another arm out there and try to hammer at the ball.
I like that they look like they're finishing plays.
Yeah,
like they're finishing through first level of contact. They're driving guys to the ground.
Yeah,
they're trying to strip balls loose.
Yeah, they are. And look, Sirianni and Gannon preach that in training camp, the peanut punch and trying to get a helmet on a ball and all that stuff. So maybe the coaching is paying off now. Maybe the first month it was guys were unfamiliar with it and it was different to them and. Maybe now it's paying dividends. Who knows?
Yeah, so he was also asked about another defensive player who had a big day, and that, of course, is Darius Slay.
So I always knew he was a good player. When you're around him, he's just got a contagious personality, contagious leadership, just loves being around football every day, ready to come to work every single day.
I love that. I love that he says that about Darius Slay, because Darius Slay, to me, is a veteran, a guy that's been around for a while. He's kind of proven himself in this league. Like, we know what he is. The fact that he says he's coming in every day, he loves this game, his leadership is contagious, That's a unique personality. That's cool. Usually you see a guy at 30, whatever he is, who's had success. They might come in and, yeah, why they're fired up to play. You don't really hear young coaches talk about them like this. I think that's a huge quality.
I was reading something about Darius Slay yesterday, Bob, in that same vein, about that he's one of the best as far as veterans willing to share knowledge through film. And this is what I learned. This is what I can read.
Yeah.
And teach things. And to me, I respect the hell out of that.
Yeah, and everybody that's says really he's the funniest guy on the team, too. So, like, that goes a long way in a locker room.
Well, they say Egan's the funniest guy on this show, and he's not.
I would agree with you.
Is it?
I give it to Egan.
You get to Egan?
Yeah, I mean, Darius Jamie, you're Slay goofy, says, but as far as funny, I would give it to Egan.
But what is it?
It's either Egan or Coach.
Let's just go to the next call.
Okay,
let's do that. All right, Nick Sirianni was also asked about what the way this offense is running, this run game, about his leadership on that offensive line.
Had a huge role. When I look at our offensive line, it's led by 62 and 65. And I know Jason sets the table for everything of what we're going to do, where we're going with the point, everything like that. And it's those two guys that really, really carry us.
Now, he went on to talk about the nice job that the other guys are doing, Maialata and all that. But he goes to those two. And he went deeper and deeper into what it means to have a Jason Kelce and a Lane Johnson there. And to hear him speak of it, it makes you want to play offensive line for this team. So I can only imagine the kind of leadership that Lane Johnson and Jason Kelce are providing to the likes of Jordan Maialata and Landon Dickerson and Driscoll. All those guys are just getting so much from them. And it hit me also, I think that without these two guys, Nick Sirianni would be a little bit more lost as a head coach. I think he got pulled out of that first 7 weeks of the season specifically by these two guys.
Okay.
Once Lane Johnson came back and Jason Kelce, he found something like, I can lean on this. These guys can help pull me out of this gutter that I'm in right now, and they've done a great job of it.
Yeah, they have. I mean, that offensive line, I feel like I've been gushing for 2 days about them. You know?
Well, no, you have been, but the thing is, it's like last night, Randy Moss and Hasselbeck and
this is different.
Susie Colbert and them discussing it.
It's different.
Yeah, they're it's being noticed around the NFL.
Yeah.
What the Eagles offensive line is doing.
I mean, I watch a lot of games. I watch Red Zone when it's not Eagles. I watch every primetime game. I don't see offensive lines doing this.
Well, let's hope it continues.
Not to this degree. No, it's crazy.
No, not to this degree.
Absolutely. All right, last couple things here is Nick Sirianni was asked about the passing game and the fact that Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert are really the only ones getting targeted right now.
I know when you play wide receiver, you want to touch the football, but they were affecting the game in other ways. You know, I thought Jalen did a good job in his return game. He averaged over 10 at return yesterday in punt return. And then Quez, I thought Quez did some good things blocking.
Really?
Hey, you know what he's trying to do?
Yeah,
he's trying to, I'm keeping every guy engaged, and I'm always going to have your back.
Yeah.
And there's something about that that is positive. But get Quez. We all want to see more of Quez.
Yeah, we do.
Stop telling us what we're not seeing of Quez. Let us see Quez.
Yeah, I mean, there was a play that they ran to Devontae Smith where he was on the outside and he ran it in, and like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside went downfield and threw a block. And you saw guys do some good things on a couple of plays. Devontae Smith did a drag across the middle one time where guys got out of his way. I just need a little bit more. I'd rather be talking about their four or five catches as opposed to their three or four great blocks.
But passing the ball 20 times a game, I just don't know where that comes from, you know? Like, I hate to keep harping on that, but I don't know who are you taking pass targets away from?
Well, are the guys getting open? I mean, he's watching film all week. If they're getting open, wouldn't he be calling plays for them?
I mean, I'm pretty sure Devontae is a comfort blanket for him.
I think it's
a comfort blanket for any quarterback.
Exactly.
And Dallas Goedert, you know, tight ends are usually a young quarterback's best friend. I just don't know where Rager and Quez's targets come from unless they're, you know, jumping nude in the middle of the field, wide open without a defender, you know, 15 yards around him.
Why do they have to be nude?
Because you would stand out more. If you saw a nude guy,
if you see a nude guy out there, does it make you want to throw the ball to him?
If nobody's around him and he's barking like a dog, scaring the defenders away from him.
So he's got to be nude and barking like a dog. You're so weird.
I mean, who wants to tackle a nude guy?
Exactly.
Like, you don't think second level on this, Bob.
Yeah.
All right, the last thing we have here from Nick Sirianni is talking about who very well may be the most valuable person in Jeff Stoutland of this team.
You can see it's just this history. You guys know that the offensive linemen continue to get better as they're here. And then also on top of that, he knows how to put the players in position to succeed. And I'm sure glad we have him here because he's a really, really, really good football coach.
He says two things there that I absolutely love. One, guys get better when they're here. That is the biggest compliment you can give to
accurate
a coach.
Too.
You can talk about your team getting better and scheme, whatever. When your players consistently get better under you,
well,
that is,
I mean, they developed a stable.
Yeah. I mean, it's what Stoutland does, it's absolutely incredible. And he has the players in position to succeed. He went on to talk about angles and different ways that guys like to come and how to use a tight end when a defensive lineman might be jamming down a line. It's about angles. Dallas Goedert threw some great blocks this weekend simply because he had a perfect angle on the guy. It wasn't because he overpowered or anything like that, but he threw a couple blocks on the guy, Jordan, where he was just in perfect position that Jordan couldn't get around him in time to make a stop on a run. Jeff Stoutland may be the most valuable person of this organization this year so far.
You lost one of the best guards in football, and you didn't even notice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Brandon Brooks is going for it. You lost Lane Johnson for a significant amount of time, 3-4 weeks. And not that you didn't notice, but you survived.
Yeah.
I can tell you there's a story that no one's talking about is the development of Jack Driscoll.
Yeah.
Because I got to tell you, there were people around Auburn who told me at the time, oh, your Eagles got Driscoll. Boy, they overdrafted him. That's a project. That he's got talent, but there was a project they overdrafted him. I think Jack Driscoll looks like a freaking steal right now, a fourth rounder.
Yeah, he does.
For what he's done. But that's Stoutland. That's Stoutland bringing
a
guy along.
Yeah.
And just, but that also goes to Jack. It also goes to compliment Jack.
Sure.
On his own development, but.
Yeah. Yeah, but
good.
Stoutland has been just incredible for the years he's been here.
I think it was Sirianni's best week as far as, I think that was an incredible game plan. Anytime you out-duel, and I don't care what the final score was, you dominated Sean Payton. And I thought it was a great week, but he also, after the game, Bob, he didn't have the diarrhea of the mouth. Sunday or yesterday, he didn't have that. He's getting more comfortable.
He is. He's getting more comfortable and more confident as a football coach.
He did a really good job.
Looking
week.
At some of the ex-players' film yesterday, they were glowing over his play calling in, you know, the way they go really, really deep into a way a play's run back and forth. Apparently, Nick Sirianni, more to than just our naked eyes, had a really good day.
It was impressive. Absolutely impressive. It's so much fun. It's so much fun when you beat somebody up like that.
Yeah.
I love a running game, though. But I always would root for, I would much rather see a team be physical and have that physicality and win with a running game than see a 40-pass offense that lights up the scoreboard with passing. I just don't, because I think that goes away easier than a running game goes away.
Yeah.
You can take away passing games easier than you can take away running games.
I love passing the football.
I love passing games, but if you have to scheme against one to stop I think running's harder to do.
And what's better than beating up the Saints, beating up the Giants, and ending their year?
Oh, that'd be awesome. Hey, let's do a little recap of the Eagles retool versus the Giants rebuild. It might give you a little bit of a smile heading into the holiday weekend. Tomorrow is going to be a crazy day on the John Kincaid Show. We'll tell you more about it coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. It's the John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. I want you to check out my friends at College Ave Student Loans. CollegeAve.com. All they do is student loans. And right now you have a senior, like we do in our house. The acceptance letters are rolling in. The applications, trying to get more financial aid or trying to get yourself set up for scholarships. College Ave is your resource. CollegeAve.com. They've got free tips, resources, expert advice that will help you navigate the way you pay for college. And honestly, that's a big part of the discussion. So you sit with your college senior, your high school senior, and you go to collegeav.com. And you're going to be better prepared for the process that lies ahead. And you can enter to win a $1,000 scholarship, a new winner chosen each month. Go to collegeav.com and they'll help guide you through this college selection journey. Because the cost of the college is incredibly important. How you're going to be able to pay for it, it's a discussion you have to have with your child. So go to collegeav.com. Do it this weekend while you're both home. collegeav.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Melikilikimaka is a thing to say.
Oh, I thought all it was a sing along.
That's it. It's all you want to do is sing.
I don't think this one.
It reminds
me. Not one of my favorites.
It's because I'm going to hear it too much.
It makes me think of Phoebe Cates' boobs, if we're being honest.
Really?
Well, then that's okay.
What? Yeah. Because it wasn't that song.
No.
It wasn't that song.
That's when he's looking out the window.
No, not at all.
No. Christmas Vacation.
What are you talking about?
You got the
about?
Wrong movies and everything.
What do you...
It's Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
You moron.
Well, who's...
He's not looking at Phoebe Cates.
All right, yeah, sorry. The lingerie girl. I'm cross-streaming, but it makes me think of that lingerie girl's boobs.
Yeah, let's start this segment.
Oh, my gosh.
All messed
Phoebe
up.
Cates.
8 o'clock hour of the Jock and Cates show. Stress.
I'm sorry. Can't bounce back from that one.
It's brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com.
It's a tit nipple in here, Russ.
Phoebe Cates in
I don't know where Phoebe Cates
National
Cates
Lampoon's
came from.
Christmas Vacation. She was great in that.
You can't see the lining, can you, Russ?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, Phoebe Cates in right. Fast Times is that's an all-timer.
Yeah, it was the window scene in the bathroom and looking out the window.
You did a little bit there.
But there's no boobs in Christmas Vacation.
No, but you get close until the little girl.
You get close.
Yeah, the girl with the bad wig.
Yeah.
There you go. Hey, the Eagles retooling.
Sue Ann?
The Giants rebuilding. And the ongoing results are going to be on display this Sunday. The Eagles began starting over with the firing of Doug Peterson. Can we agree on that? That's when this sort of retooling begins. They fire Doug Peterson. They trade Carson Wentz. They hire Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, it's
that's
pretty
sort
good
of
start.
The start over. The Giants started over in 2018 after firing Ben McAdoo. In the first 4 years since then, the Giants are on their second coach. They went 9-23 under Pat Shurmur, and they fired him. They drafted Daniel Jones. Shurmur didn't develop him the first year. And they went 4-12 and brought in Joe Judge to develop a team around him. He went 6-10 last year and is currently stealing money at 3-7. While the Eagles are currently 5-6 in their retool, and many fans think it's a burden and it's all-time terrible and the completion percentage against, it's terrible. The Giants haven't been 5-6 or better after 11 weeks since 2016. Remember that, Eagles fans, when you get frustrated with this team and this organization. The Giants have won 4 Super Bowls that I've witnessed. They are a putrid 21-53 as their rebuild has begun. And they don't appear like they've accomplished anything in their rebuild. It is a speak to all of us moment. Patience. Patience. Because the Eagles are in a much better position than the Giants. And the Giants have been rebuilding for 4 years. That's where we begin the 8 o'clock hour with Bob and Jamie and Pat and Connor and Mike and the coach Eric Camille. It's the John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. That's where they're at. Giants have been rebuilding for 4 years, and they may need to rebuild again because Joe Judge may be fired.
Yeah.
And they may go through another coach.
Well, it's the scary part of drafting. For years, they needed an offensive line, and they negated to address it.
Well, they tried to.
And then, it took way too long. And then you go to your skill position players, and your quarterback's not working out. You took Saquon Barkley second overall. That doesn't appear to be working out. It's the scary thing of bad drafting high that so far hasn't really come back to bite Howie in the ass, but it's concerning, you know?
Absolutely.
Like we were talking about yesterday.
And that is, that's a, concerning's a good word that Jamie is, because the Eagles have just, even in a year where they're retooling, and that was the Eagles' word, was retool, they're 5-6 and doing much better. The Giants get to play the same crappy schedule the Eagles play almost every single year, and they can't, they've had a last place schedule three times. They can't do anything with it.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly feels good. I always like to laugh at New York teams because it brings me great joy in life. Dave Gettleman, he's tremendous at his job. I love what he brings to the table for that organization.
Hopefully he gets a contract extension.
Yeah, I hope John Mara gives him a lifetime extension. That guy's awesome. I love him. I love you, Dave Gettleman. You're great at what you do.
He's done.
Yeah, him and Judge are done. There's no doubt about it. I mean, as Bob said, to neglect an offensive line, to fail at addressing the offensive line, is not good. But in the grand scheme of things, I don't like to compare myself to the Giants. Like, I look at, I always compare the Eagles to the Patriots, and they're back to being a potential one seed in the AFC a year after losing Brady.
Giants have won they've won four Super Bowls since my last year in college.
Yeah, but since post,
that's freaking amazing.
It is, but post Strahan era, it's been kind of dreck. So I don't, while it's enjoyable to laugh at them, I don't like comparing the Eagles to them.
Patty?
Yeah, comparing the Eagles to the Giants is,
because I know they're better, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not fair.
They're 4 years into a rebuild is what the comparison is. The Eagles are 11 weeks into a retool. And they're 5-6. Giants are terrible.
Yeah, I understand where you're going with it. And I don't, it's hard for me to go, oh, I have more confidence in the Eagles front office because it's run by Howie Roseman, but I have confidence in the Eagles front office than I do in David Gettleman. I mean, I'm like Jamie. I pray to God David Gettleman has a lifetime contract because
he's so good.
The job that he's done has been a disaster. They've addressed the correct position. It's like the Eagles. Like, they've addressed the correct position. Oh, we need wide receiver. They just haven't drafted the right one. I mean, obviously, sans Devontae Smith, but they've missed on big positions. Left tackle, quarterback, drafting a running back second overall. Like, that sets your franchise back years.
As everybody in the town complains, Bob, about Howie Roseman. Michael Kay's show the other day was doing a thing about, boy, look at what Howie Roseman's done in Philadelphia. We can't do it here. And
Howie Roseman doesn't know what he's doing.
And whenever Adam Schefter said anything about Howie Roseman, everybody scoffs in this town. Chris Mortensen has told me numerous times, if Howie Roseman was ever fired by the Eagles,
he would be
unemployed for 20 minutes. He would have three teams on the line willing to talk to him, willing to hire him. Because this town makes it out like he's the worst thing that's ever walked, when in reality, across the NFL, people look at him and go, he builds a really good roster. He knows how to build a roster. He knows how to maneuver a cap. All these things. He's not great at drafting, but it's certainly gotten better.
He has one major flaw, and that's drafting high. When he has to pick someone high in drafts, a lot of times it doesn't work out for him. Maybe trying to be the smartest guy in the room, whatever it may be. But you're right. As far as cap space goes, Jamie says it all the time. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Howie will fix it.
From the day I arrived, and he did.
Yeah, I never once sweat an Eagles cap situation. Never once.
That would all fix up. Like the very first week we were on the air. And you were just so, I was still lamenting it going, what are they going to?
I never even give it a second thought.
It was amazing.
The Eagles are projected 2,400. Yeah, well, he'll kick the can down the road and figure out a new signing bonus or a workout bonus.
But he
cleaned
it out where next year they're in a great position. Cowboy.
Oh, they could have, I mean,
56?
I don't
know.
That was before these extensions and maybe even more.
I thought
more.
He used this year's money for that.
Well, that affects next year's rollover.
Yeah, okay, some years rollover.
So, but yeah, and then the year after that, they're going to be $100 million in cap space.
There you go.
Which is incredible. I've always said he's great at trades, signings.
Is it because
it's the draft has been his Achilles heel?
Whenever I'd complain about him, Mort would say to me, "Yeah, he'd be out of a job for 5 minutes."
Oh, I don't doubt it.
Somebody there'd be three teams.
This is the NFL, though. I mean, we were talking about that's sports. You're out of a job for 5 minutes until your buddy hires you back. So
well, it's because of success. No, but it's because of his success.
Look, he's had some success in areas, and you're right. Like, the cap situation is great, but the problem is drafting has been horrible. Now lately, it's been better.
Right?
Maybe that's because of the fact that he finally realized he has some liabilities.
Teams never had a better GM.
But, well,
no, they've never had a better GM. The Eagles have never been more relevant
for
a sustained period of time.
Joe Banner was pretty good.
Than under Howie Roseman. He's had the most success.
Well, Banner was with Reed all those years, right?
Yeah.
I know Howie won a Super Bowl, and that's your ultimate. I know that. But that's a lot of success you had with Andy and Joe Banner.
Success.
Yeah.
Hey, DryTech waterproofing. Protects your home with DryTech waterproofing solutions. If you're a Fanatic listener, and you are because you're listening right now, receive 15% off when you mention Mike Missanelli. So if you have water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust the experts at DryTech. DryTechCorp.com. Mike and Del Rand joins us. Mike, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, man?
Four Super Bowls since you were in college? What was tuition like back then, man?
Oh, my gosh.
It was a while ago.
Yes, that was last year of senior year of college. That was the Giants, the Phil Simms Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
Incredible. Holy. And yes, it's amazing.
Their new head coach next year, Doug Peterson.
You think so, eh?
I do. I have this weird feeling. Doug Peterson, Giants head coach.
Oh, I'd hate that.
I wouldn't want to see
it. I would hate that, too. Listen, guys, it's halfway through the season, right? Beginning of the season. I thought under 500 team, we're going to be building.
You said seven, right, Mike?
I think I said seven wins.
You and Jamie were in the seven camp.
Yep. I'm going to reevaluate that right now, and I'm telling you, I think they're winning the rest of these games. Guys,
you think they're going 11? You think they're going 11-6?
I do. I really do. I think, here's the deal. Here's why I think that. They have lost the games they were supposed to lose, and some of them were they were in the game, especially the Chargers game. They have not lost games they're supposed to win. And when I look at this, with the exception of Dallas, they're supposed to win these games, and I think they're going to. And I'm happy with that, knowing that next season we got three first-round picks for something other than quarterbacks. Go Bears!
There you go, Mikey. Happy Thanksgiving, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving.
I mean, it's tough to do, but it's not out of the question.
No, it is out of the question for me.
I don't think
this
it's
team's
out of the
not
question.
Running the table. I mean, it's.
I'd put it at less than 10%.
I'd put it at 0.0%.
We're quick calculation, 6.4%.
Oh my God! Both of you stop.
I'm putting it at 0.0. How can we always think the analytics guys sound like that? Have you met some of these analytics guys though?
Many.
The Simpsons
and
did
they,
it to me.
And they sound a little like that.
It's
when they get into their explanations about why they do things.
Sound like virgins.
As they try to convince you that things you know, I would have many baseball, spring training would drive the old players would come in for spring training and they'd be hanging around and then one of the analytics guys would walk on by and they'd be like, that effer's trying to tell me that two walks is as good as a double. That effort is trying to tell me, like, they talk about all the things that these...
Well, it could be situational.
Analytics guys come in and go, tell them, what you know about the game, sir. Now, you may have been a three-time All-Star and had a 20-year career in Major League Baseball, but I went to MIT and I know better than you. And they like are like, shut the hell... It's just a civil war.
Yeah.
Between them.
Well, sports are simple, right?
No, they've made them more complex. Baseball's been made complex by the analytics.
But at its base, all these sports are simple. Like, you don't need to play it your entire life to have a great understanding.
But you do,
and you also don't need to be the smartest person in the world.
But you don't understand it. You don't understand it one-tenth as well as someone who had a 15, 20-year career in Major League Baseball.
No.
You don't understand it. You don't have a shot glass of knowledge of what it is to be there.
But it's also not complicated.
To Jamie's point, you go into a schoolyard and watch kids playing baseball or basketball, whatever it is, you're going to be able to pick out the best two or three players right away. You don't need numbers to back it up.
Yes.
I think, to your point, that's what you're saying. Ultimately, it comes down to that.
It's why we all kind of love it. Like, there's a baseline of understanding, right? You could have played it at the highest level and been an expert at it. You could be a nerd that just watched and studied it your whole life, and it's still the same kind of understanding.
It's like Robin Yount went to Toronto. Went to Toronto. Paul Molitor would be on this panel once.
I hated him as a player.
Paul Molitor?
Because he was so good.
Because
in 93. He was on the
And I got to see that, and they were speaking on this. They're speaking on this panel, Dan, and I think it was ESPN The Weekend, one of those things where they bring in the ex-players, they talk about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about it, and one guy said about analytics, and Paul Molitor goes, yes. He said, I've had many analytics guys tell me, RBI is a outdated statistic. It's ridiculous. And he goes, really? And he challenged the guy, and he says, so you're big? Oh, yeah, I'm a big believer in it. And he says, yeah. And he says, can you tell me how many great players were not good in the RBI statistic? And he said, can you tell me all the great players that weren't great in RBIs?
The first one that came to my mind, just gut reaction, was Ozzie Smith.
Yeah, Ozzie Smith's a shortstop. Nobody's
borderline Hall of Fame.
Nobody judges borderline Hall of Fame.
I know he's in,
but he's a borderline
he's in
Hall of
because
Fame.
Of his gold gloves.
Yes. He's in first fielding.
But Ozzie Smith is not. Nobody's ever expecting.
Find some.
Nobody's expecting RBIs out of a shortstop position has never been one till you've changed.
Well, you tell that to Jimmy Rollins.
Jimmy, we're going to get into that later with Jimmy. In fact, we're getting into it right now in the linchpin.
This is the linchpin.
There's a lot of freaking Phillies on this Hall of Fame ballot, and it's pretty cool. Now, yesterday, Ryan Howard and Jimmy Rollins found their way to their first ballot. I think we all agree here that neither are going to get in on a first ballot. I believe personally that both should be in. I really believe it. What Ryan Howard did for 5 years, probably even six, you can extend it to, was unprecedented in the history of the game. To me, that's a good enough case. His numbers were insane. I mean, ridiculous. He wasn't able to adjust, and the game caught up to him. That Achilles injury more or less ended him. That was sad. Jimmy Rollins. Pat has the printout in his wallet he can pull out of why he's a Hall of Famer.
I literally have it out right now. I'll show the YouTube camera there.
Yeah. I don't believe either a first ballot because I think it's a stupid process. But there's a lot of Phillies on it. Scott Rolen, Billy Wagner, Jonathan Papelbon, and I believe Bobby Abreu still
on it. Bobby Abreu's still on it. Yeah, he got 5%.
You follow Ace of Spader?
Yeah, good follow.
Ryan Spader.
But there's a lot of ex-Phillies on there. It's fascinating.
He tries to convince me all the time about Scott Rolen. And I will just say again, I will have my same rule. When I watched a player, Jamie, I always say, am I watching an all-time great? Scott Rolen, I never watched Scott Rolen and said, I'm watching an all-time great. Not even, and people try to convince me all the time about Rolen. Ever did I watch him and think.
Are you comparing an all-time great third baseman only?
No, I'm saying all-time great player.
Yeah, but
like,
I think.
For me, a Hall of Famer is an all-time great player.
But I think baseball's different in that you have to compare them to their other position players, right?
Who says I have to?
I think it just makes sense.
Yeah, but that makes it marginalized. That marginalizes it and maybe makes it easier for some
guys. Like, is he a top 10 third baseman of all time? You might be able to make that
case.
He's
probably in that discussion. He's just not. I never watched him and saw an all-time great.
No, yours is my reaction. It's gut reaction.
Yes, it's like all-time.
My gut is Scott Rolen.
No. You never watched. People never went to the, like, man, Scott Rolen. Got to watch that Scott Rolen at bat.
How many gold gloves does he have?
I don't know.
I'd say six or seven.
I would have guessed six.
Yeah, one of the best fielding third basemen I've ever seen.
Yeah, like, that counts, you know? And you couple that with, anyway, back to Jimmy and Ryan.
Yes.
I just want to poll the room real quick.
Eight-time gold glove winner.
Eight.
Okay. So I would have guessed six.
See, eight. That's pretty ridiculous. You know? Yes. Like, that's worse.
I still never watched an all-time great.
So, real quick, Jimmy.
Yes.
No question.
Pat, we don't even have to ask.
I hesitate a little bit, honestly, and it's because, and when you hear Egan on this,
and
he's
we'll let
brilliant
him,
on
we
it.
See, he
he's
can read his highlights.
But I hesitate a little bit because I know the process will take a little bit, but Jimmy, yes.
There's probably not a ton of MVPs that aren't Hall of Famers, right? Probably not a ton. I'm sure there's
a ton. Yeah.
Okay. Brian Howard.
No.
Wow. I'm the only one? Too.
Yeah, like you said it, 5 year span.
Six, that, I think it is. But
that's too short.
The 6 year he went 33-116. So, yeah. But no, it's too short for me. Yeah, it's way too short. I need over 400 home runs. If a guy's going to have, if you're specifically going to be relying on like a 5 year span or 6 year span, I'm sorry, then I need the numbers total to add up to over 400 home runs.
Let me try this with you, Pat. Jimmy Rollins doesn't really deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, come on now. He's not even that great a shortstop.
Shut your mouth. All right. So the Phillies franchise has been around since 1883, right? That's a pretty long
a lot
franchise.
Of losses.
He ranks first in franchise hits and at-bats and doubles. He ranks second in franchise history in games played, stolen bases. He ranks third in runs or in triples as well. So if that's not enough, Rollins is just one of seven shortstops with 2,000 hits and 700 extra base hits. He's one of five shortstops with 2,000 hits, 400 stolen bases. Only Jimmy Rollins and Honus Wagner have 2,000 hits, 700 extra base hits, and 400 stolen bases. He's the only shortstop ever to win an MVP in addition to four gold gloves. And among shortstops with at least 10 years of service time, Rollins ranks second in fielding percentage behind only Omar Vizquel.
That's pretty,
so in other words,
pretty good resume.
And you carry that around in your wallet.
Yeah, because I would bring up Jimmy Rollins Hall of Famer. And like lately, a lot of people have come around this argument, but a couple years ago, it was like, no, he's not. So I got sick of it. So I wrote the argument down so I could bring it up.
I love it. And
haters up.
Jimmy Rollins is, to me, is just one of the... Like, I was just looking at it right there. Jimmy Rollins was must-see TV.
Yeah.
I never saw Scott Rollins as must-see TV ever. Ever.
But Ryan Howard was must-see
TV. I never saw myself going, I'm running. I got to run. Yeah, but it's too short. It was like a sitcom that was good but lasted too short.
All right, I want to pull the rest of the Phillies on it real quick. Around the room. Papelbon.
I think he has a better case than Ryan Howard to be a Hall of Famer.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely.
He's like top three saves.
I think he's a lock.
I think he's going to be in. I think he's going to be in.
Billy Wagner.
I love Billy Wagner personally, so I got a problem. I got a problem there. I think he's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, I do too. Bob?
Probably.
Unfortunately,
Pat?
I think he's in.
Bobby Abreu?
No.
No.
No. No.
And Scott Rowland, we talked about.
No. But you think Scott is, right?
I think he's worthy.
You're there. Are you there or are you in?
I think he's in. Yeah.
Okay, you're in?
I mean, 8 gold gloves and being a top 10 third baseman ever to me is a pretty damn strong
case.
I could
see him sneaking in like the last year of the ballot. Yeah. If the last year it's not a great year, I could see him sneaking in. Well, I think the case we made. It's the last couple of years, you know, he played for Cincinnati and Toronto, and those were bad teams. And I think that adds into the must-see factor.
How many career home runs do you think he had, John? Just because I know I was surprised the last time I looked this up.
I have it right in front of me.
I'm going to say 285.
Oh, it's more than that.
You're right there.
It's 316.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm right in the neighborhood.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought it was more than 316.
That doesn't...
You thought more than 316? I did not.
I would have guessed 350.
Like, Scott Rowland was not
career 364 on base.
Scott Rowland was not a guy to go, got to get to the TV and see that Scott Rowland at bat.
No, he gets a lot out of his longevity.
Yeah, his longevity is a part.
I enjoyed his fielding more than his batting.
Yeah, his fielding more than his batting, I did.
Yeah.
It is.
Injuries kind of plagued him a little bit, too.
I just think it's the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Very Good.
Yeah, but the reality is there are some very good players in every Hall of Fame.
Yes. See, I think the Football Hall of Fame puts in very good players. Often.
I mean, I think every Hall of Fame does.
We're going to put seven in every year.
I mean, Phil Rizzuto is in the Hall of Fame.
And that's terrible.
Yeah. Like, that's a joke.
That's terrible. Should never have happened. We're going to tell you about tomorrow's show. Tomorrow's show is going to be different. Even Coach doesn't know everything that's in store. And Coach is the boss. We'll get to it next. John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. I love the Park Sportsbook app. I love it because it's not just picking winning teams. Because sometimes the spreads and the over-unders, well, to use Jamie's line, they put your mind into a pretzel. The Park Sportsbook app knows that you follow players. You understand individual player performances. And there's so much action to be had in a football game. You're betting on passing yards, rushing yards, who scores touchdowns. In hoops, you can bet on individual player performances, like points and rebounds and assists. The same game parlays are wild. They really let you cash in, multiplying your winnings. The Park Sportsbook app is custom made for you, the real Philly sports fan. I got a $500 risk-free bet for you. Well, Parks does. Go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use my promo code Kincaid. Get a risk-free bet up to $500. The Thanksgiving holiday games are going to be better than you ever thought when you get a little action on it. Your first bet will be refunded in site credit should you lose. So come join me on the Park Sportsbook app. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. Coach Eric Camille running a very, very tight ship around here.
Coach should not be a distraction.
He's in getaway mode.
I think Coach is feeling it. He's feeling excited with Thanksgiving coming, which is great.
He's in a great mood today.
Yeah, he's going to San Diego.
He's going to go to San Diego for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, he's peacocking around here.
Wouldn't you be in a great mood, too?
Yes. He's sitting here. He's bothering me, asking me what sunscreen he should get.
I love San Diego.
Oh, are you really?
The SPF 30 or the 40?
I've never been to San Diego.
Oh, my gosh, Bob.
The best.
Bob, it's so beautiful. Coach, tell Bob about waking up in San Diego.
Like, no one cares.
8 in the morning.
No one cares.
We do.
Well,
right now, Jamie and I were just talking a little earlier. Right now, it's the weather right now isn't, you know, in the 80s and 90s. It's probably like top, maybe low 70s right now.
It's time for you to shut the
What
up.
A shame.
Golf courses are nice, though.
Oh, yes.
Shut up,
Coach. Torrey Pines.
Oh, it's awesome. I would love to play Torrey Pines. Never have. It's on the list.
It was. I almost pulled it off last time.
You did?
But we were only there for 2 days. I would have had to have played alone. She would have been alone for half a day.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing, really.
Well, they put you with other people. You don't play alone.
Well, yeah, but if I had more than 48 hours, like I wanted to see a lot and see some friends out there, it was, you know, just not in the cards.
Like I want to play, Pebbles at, which now you have to stay 2 nights.
Yeah.
To play Pebble, but I want to do that. That is absolutely bucket list central.
550 around.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I'm fine. Wait, is that Torrey Pines?
He's fine.
Yeah, Torrey, yeah.
Torrey's 550 around?
Yep.
Guess what? I'll pay Torrey Pines 550 around. It costs more to play the win on the strip. It costs more than that.
If I'm paying 550, I better get 10 rounds. I'll tell you right now.
Well, come on. You're playing Torrey Pines.
$550 to play a round of golf. I can't justify that to my family.
That's a tough one.
You got Walnut Lane for like $30.
Yeah, well, yeah, but then, no, I'm questioning the Walnut Lane because I saw Connor write down like a 74. And then I played with Connor and like 3 days later, and I completely outperformed him.
Now,
and I am mediocre as they get.
Can I just say that?
And I named Connor MVP of the show.
Which
really pissed Bob off.
After the challenge was put out there about Connor and I playing a match together, little rumblings came from around the office about Connor's honesty in scoring.
Who brought that? Wait a minute.
I'm just saying.
Wait a minute.
Guess what? I didn't search for it. I didn't ask about it. It was brought to my attention.
I do not believe that Connor Thomas would be a guy that would ever be a cheat at golf.
Look, you can maybe embellish.
I refuse to believe that.
Well, I wouldn't call him a cheat.
I could embellish about, yeah. But I do not believe Connor on a golf course would cheat.
I'm just saying it was brought to me. I didn't search it out. I am not making accusations. I cannot reveal my sources.
Okay, and now you're a coward. Because
you
just sit there and say, well, I'm not bringing this up, but it was brought to me, but you won't name names.
That's not a coward.
Yeah.
Nah.
I mean, here's the one thing is. If you cheat at golf, you cheat yourself.
I think unless you should tell
Connor
that.
Unless you're betting. When you build up your own golf game and say, oh, I shoot like in the 80s. You know, no, when you don't, it's very apparent where you shoot. I do not believe Connor Thomas would ever be a man of a lack of integrity, though, scoring. I think Jamie agrees with me on that. Like, Connor wouldn't try to.
I think Jamie might have heard the same thing.
No, I didn't hear it.
Oh, no.
Oh, we don't want that.
It would surprise me, yeah.
That would surprise you.
But I can't rule it out.
The thing is, though, you can't cheat. Like, if you're playing, like, if we were going out as a group and we were betting on, Jamie and I are playing a match. If Jamie cheated to win a stupid, like, dollar a hole match or something like that, that would absolutely damage my view of you.
I told you before that playing basketball with guys and playing golf with guys, you learn a lot about them.
Because I'd be like, why are you cheating over a dollar? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, I would laugh my ass off if I go, okay, Jamie, here's the $8 I owe you after the round of the $9 I owe you. And believe me, if I ever got $6 out of you, I'd hold it over your head for, hey, Jamie, how's that $6?
Yeah, I would never.
I never understand guys who cheat at golf.
I mean, I'll be serious. I'll be honest. If I'm playing alone and I end up behind like a tree, I'll give myself a little foot wedge.
No, but that's different. That's not cheating.
I would never cheat in that situation.
No, but if you're cheating, the only way I think you're cheating is if you're. Your score is counting for a competition.
Yeah.
I don't consider when you're out for your own round of golf.
If
I'm up against a tree root, I am not playing it from there.
I'm not breaking my wrist
I will move it. But like even when we played in the scramble a couple weeks ago, and you watch teams in scrambles, I try to say, okay, you get the club length. You get the club length, no closer to the hole. I try to keep it honest. I just think there's nothing to be gained by not.
Connor
is going to be good, that's going to be a good match. Tim in San Diego jumps in with us. Tim, what's going on this morning?
Robert, the weather's absolutely perfect for the next week. I just saw, I looked and it's 70 to 80 degrees, perfect weather. Well, I forgot, I didn't hear who's coming out to visit. But
it's Coach. Coach is from San Diego.
Oh, that's right. He's from La Jolla, I think he said.
Yeah, he's uppity, and he really enjoys his nice weather. He is. So he's got great weather. So Coach is going to have 70s to 80s all the time he's out there.
Yeah, we're not getting any rain. It's kind of scary, but we're not getting no rain in the forecast. We're hoping for some rain out here, believe it or not. It's like a holiday when we get rain.
But nothing. So. All right.
No, you know what? I was calling, how about Stoutland? I think we should sign that guy to a lifetime coaching contract. The guy's a stud, and I think he's not getting enough credit. Sirianni better keep that guy around to keep this.
He's amazing.
We're mauling them.
He's amazing, and I heard a scary thing about Jeff Stoutland, is all I'm going to tell you. Coach Pittman, who I believe will be Coach of the Year in the SEC, and who is just one of the best, just one of the best people I've ever known in the coaching profession. Sam Pittman gets the Arkansas job, and people scoffed at it. Sam Pittman is an offensive line coach, just like Jeff Stoutland. And now Sam Pittman's killing it at Arkansas, and he's creating a great thing. He's recruiting well. The team is playing better than it has in a long, long time, just understanding the principles of that play. And I had someone suggest to me, well, Stoutland's got to be getting a call soon for a head coaching job, seeing what Pittman's got going on.
He's 60 years old.
I think it's a little old, and that's what I said, but Sam Pittman got his first coaching job at 57.
Yeah. It'd be interesting because you don't see that a lot, John. You're right. You don't see a lot of offensive line coaches getting plucked to be head coaches. But as Nick Sirianni, we hit on a little bit on what he said about Jeff Stoutland yesterday in his press conference. He went on and on and on to say how much he brings to the actual game planning. That Sirianni will go to him and say, I'm not sure what we should do here or what you're thinking there. And he says Stoutland always has an answer. And if he doesn't, he finds it.
This franchise has been so incredibly lucky in terms of offensive line coaches. You go from Juan Castillo to Howard Mudd to now Jeff Stoutland.
Yeah, but I've heard one thing about that is the pay.
You mean like they pay?
Jeffrey Lurie has always, that the Eagles are considered a top five, top six or something team that will pay for position coaches.
Well, that makes sense.
Of course, doesn't go against salary cap.
Stoutland was reportedly going back to Alabama, and then all of a sudden he had a change of heart. Did he have a change of heart, or did he have a change in his bank?
Well, good, man. Make it a change of bank.
I agree with you.
But I'm telling you this, with Sam Pittman, when Coach Pittman got that job, I was so happy for him. He's 10-11 at Arkansas.
Who was the last head coach in the NFL from an offensive line coach? Tom Cable?
The guy who coached Arizona and then the Titans. He was the Arizona coach and then he was the Titans coach.
Wisenhunt?
Ken Wisenhunt was an offensive lineman, if I'm not mistaken. I think he was an
offensive
lineman.
I'm talking lineman. Like, was an offensive line coach.
Oh, no, offensive line coach.
That was plucked from being an offensive line coach to being a head coach.
Hey, Graf in media joins us. Graf, what's going on this morning, brother?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to comment on our coaching situation right now in Philadelphia between the Sixers and the Eagles here. Doc Rivers has managed to create a passing scheme on this team that I find to be absolutely exceptional. And I think this team plays a lot with a lot of heart. These young guys are phenomenal. But my major point here is with Nick Sirianni, all right? So last week I called you guys with my little, like, Howie Roseman wants to throw football theory. I hold through that. I think after Nick Sirianni's comments yesterday about his offensive line, this guy loves running the football. He loves having an O-lineman that can get out front and crack. He loves Jason Kelce, and he loves Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailata. This guy loves running the football. So I stick by it. I think Howie Roseman is a snake, and I want his hands off my coaching scheme, and I want Nick Sirianni to thrive, baby. So keep running football, kid.
There you go, buddy. I think Nick Sirianni's the one who wants to throw the football constantly.
I think the first seven games of the year tell you that.
It's not Howie Roseman.
Well, I think Howie believes
that. Oh, no, they believe that's the style more than they want. But it's not. It was Nick Sirianni that was throwing the football crazy. Because Howie Roseman would be saying right now, whoa, 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 too much running. They're not. They want to win. They want to win. Howie wants to win to save his job. If he had had a crappy year this year, after hiring Nick Sirianni, if they had had a crappy year, Howie probably would have been gone. There would be, or at least would have been teetering on the edge of being fired.
Well, who do you think came up with the idea to run the ball? Do you think there was input there? Like you just said, do you think Sirianni wanted to throw the ball? That's what he wants to do. You think he changed it on his own?
Yes, I believe that he started to listen when he told us about the offensive lineman coming to him and saying, What are we I think the whole what are we doing with Jason Kelce looking to the sidelines twice with his hands in the air, visibly during games, I think it was a coming to Jesus meeting between his veterans and him, saying, why are we not doing what we do best? This is what we do best. We're the best guys on the team.
Right.
Why are you not using, why are you not featuring us? And I think that's when it all changed. And to me, I compliment Nick Sirianni for that.
Oh, absolutely.
That he isn't like Billy Big Balls that he has to, well.
My way or the highway.
Yeah. You veterans, let's get you out of here. Joe Judge was, you know what, like tossing people out of his locker room. Now, marginal players, but yeah. Tossing people out at that point, which makes it a little bit different. So the return of Joel Embiid, maybe Saturday. Looks like.
Better be.
When they come home. I mean, come on. What's going on here?
I don't know.
Honestly. This is a drag. It's a drag.
I have a thought on it, and we were going to talk about it later, but let's bring it up now because this is fun. Could this be planned? Could this be, well, Ben Simmons isn't here. This is a Joel Embiid year. Until we get everybody in here, meaning whoever you get for Ben Simmons, are we going to waste his legs? Are we going to waste minutes on him?
Oh, so
could that be a possibility?
Well, if you tell me that then load management isn't going to be used in the second half of the year, that they're going to actually play him like a normal star would be played, then I'm all in. But I
well, a normal star is played
70 games out of 82.
Yeah, that's probably not even the norm 68. Anymore, is it? It's like 65-ish, I guess.
Yeah, I'd be fine. I'd be fine with 60. Yeah. I'd be fine with 68.
I don't know, and this is pure conjecture on my part. I have not talked to anybody about this, but I did start to wonder, okay, are they looking at this and saying, he got COVID, and I'm not going to even guess to how sick he was or put him down to say he should have been back.
Doc says
I don't know.
He said he was in bad shape.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been sick myself for like 8 straight days, and it's not fun. He could have been very sick, maybe lost some weight. Maybe he's not in condition to get back on the court yet or just rounding into that. But part of me also wonders, are they going to just take their time with him on different things because they don't have a full complement around him? And until they do, they're not going to push him 100%.
When I hear bad shape, when I hear someone, okay, he was in bad shape. To me, that means you're hospitalized. You're in bad shape. You got sick. Then you got sick.
Yeah, but you can be, there's some sick that's like what I kind of have like a cold right now.
Yeah, but somebody's in bad shape. That is that
when I had COVID, I was in bad shape.
Well, you may have done that.
But that's worse than a normal sickness.
I don't use bad shape for someone at home being sick. Someone's in bad. When you hear somebody, oh no, they're in bad shape. That means to me they're getting hospitalization. You're in bad shape. You're in danger. That is a dangerous situation.
No, see that? And now I think that's really bad shape.
Oh, you go really bad shape.
There's you're sick, you're in bad shape, you're in really bad shape.
Because
then from there, it's I don't want to talk about
shape.
It.
Bad shape. So you go really bad shape if someone ends up hospitalized.
Yeah, you're really bad shape.
I got pneumonia one time on the road with the Sixers. We were in Denver, and I had to call my boss and say, I have to come home. I was in bed for 8 days. I mean, 8 straight days. I did not get out of bed. I went back to Sixers practice a couple of days later, and Brett Brown looked at me.
Right?
No, he looked at me and goes, oh, my God. Like, what happened? I lost, like, 13 pounds. Like, it was bad. That was bad shape. I was in bad shape.
You think that's the situation here?
I have no idea. I'm just saying you can be down and out at home. And if you would have asked me to run up and down a basketball court then, even if I was in really good shape, no way. And it probably would have been a few weeks. So I don't want to conjecture on how sick he was.
No, I'm just saying.
I never thought he was going to make the trip out west.
No.
Entire trip off.
Yeah.
You notice they're not telling you anymore about positive tests.
Well, are you really going to the other side of the country for a game or two?
Oh my gosh, they fly. They don't fly like we fly, Jamie.
I'm aware.
They fly. They can lay down if they want.
Sure. Are you?
Am I going to fly them across the country? Yeah, I'm going to have no problem with that.
Yeah,
I'm going to let them fly out and stretch
that was
out.
Happen.
On a corporate jet. No, you're saying that you don't. Guess what? I didn't expect it to happen either.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing with you on that.
So even if he's ready for the last game.
But I don't want to put you're not asking Joel Embiid to sit there and coach. Or in first class.
No, of course not, but you're still flying 12, 13 hours.
And he could stretch out on a recliner.
Yeah,
wait a minute, though. They didn't bring
time zone.
Here's the one thing that was brought up to me yesterday. They're not bringing up the positive needing 2 tests in a row either anymore. That means he's already gotten it. That, to me, says we're not bringing that up anymore, so he's already gotten it. He's already cleared to come back.
Yeah, so he's conditioning, and when they get back from the trip, he should be ready to go, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of if he's not feeling 100, or even if he's close to 100%, but hasn't gone 5-on, he hasn't had a chance to play 5-on-5, or really practice fully, that just leads to, when you're not ready, that could lead to an injury.
Okay,
I'm rather you more stay home, get yourself fully ready to go at a game, yeah.
I'd like to thank Tim for sending this in earlier. Now, I'm stealing it from the New York Post. Do you know the NFL players that have gotten... that have tested positive for COVID-19. Now, a lot of them said they had no symptoms, and they've had to sit out till they get their test. There's one player who's missed an additional game past when their tests came back. So, I mean, like, the NFL players, they test positive for COVID.
Yeah, but if Tobias Harris...
And then they're right back in the next week.
But if Tobias Harris was playing 2 games in 2 weeks, he probably only would have missed 1 game.
Yeah, that's the truth.
You know what I mean?
Good,
so
good point.
They have
point.
The benefit of playing
once
a week.
They get that little break there.
It seems
absolutely.
Worse because, you know, sometimes it's 3 and 4
but
games.
But they don't
a week.
Hold them. It's not like it doesn't extend into 3 weeks with a COVID-19 positive test.
Well,
in the NFL.
Joel has a flair for the dramatic. And I'm not saying he's being dramatic, but you know.
Some of them, though.
You know, like my wife tells me I'm a bitch when I get sick. She goes, "You are just a baby.
You're
a bitch
really?
On your health.
Like a bitch."
I'm a little dramatic.
Yeah. The same way.
I'll admit it.
Are you really?
Yeah.
I would not. Now, the weird thing is I wouldn't expect it out of either one of you.
It's not like crazy, but like I'll be kind of like pouty. Like, can you give me a cup of tea?
Whoa.
That's a little different.
Yeah.
Okay. But you're not like.
She straight up told me I'm a bitch.
You get your ass out of bed and.
Yeah.
And get done what has to be done,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, then you're not.
But I'm dramatic.
Then you're not.
But I'm like dramatic while going through.
Hey, you are?
I'm pretty miserable. Yeah.
Yeah.
How can you
tell?
Tell. Just checking.
Good question.
You know, John, it's...
I'm just checking.
Yeah, I bet you are.
Hey, bags under your eyes? Pat, are you sick? That's junk sleep. Mattress Firm's trying to help you out. Shop the Black Friday sale. Save up to $500 on top-rated mattress brands like Sleepy's. We've told you about Sweets Week coming up on the Fanatic next week, starting Monday. Listen every morning for your chance to win. Join us, the John Kincaid Show, on a luxury catered suite at a Sixers game. Every day you have a chance to qualify. Listen every afternoon to win tickets with the Mike Messinelli Show in a luxury suite at a Flyers game. It all starts Monday, coming up this Monday after the holiday weekend. So get right back on the horse and be with us. Listen all week for details on how you can be a part of our Sweets Week. All right, a special announcement for tomorrow's show. Bob, there's no sharing any kind of show prep tomorrow.
Oh, good. Day off.
We don't have to do anything.
No, it's not a day off. That's not what this is. That's not what this is.
That's what I'm hearing.
No.
I heard
no
email.
But guess what, though? The show prep, I think, is going to be intrigue you, though. I want you to bring at least 2 intriguing discussions to the table. One can be sports. One can be absolutely out of left field.
Mm.
Jamie, Pat, all of us tomorrow. We are having tomorrow's like sort of like an unscripted.
Wait, I'm sorry. What?
Edition. It's going to drive Coach crazy. Now, we will still be having all the fun and frivolity that we're expecting. Adam Schefter will join us. We'll have What the Puck with Jason Martinez. Jim Curtin is also stopping by, which is great. He'll be
coming in?
No, he's going to be on tomorrow at 9:35. We're going to have a great, great time tomorrow.
Are we doing mimosas?
We're still going to have Pat's Takes tomorrow. I can get champagne and do it.
All right,
so I'm all in. So
okay.
We're still going to have guests joining us and everything, but tomorrow is not going to be your typical John Kincaid show. It's going to be outlandish.
All right.
And you will be in with us. So, Pat, one sports-related topic, and it can be nothing that's relevant right now.
Wow.
It can be something that's not relevant right now.
The world's my oyster.
How about this? Now, we will still talk Eagles and Giants, but other than that, we're going to wander tomorrow morning into some and some odd stuff, too. So, Jamie,
but you don't want to know what it is.
I do not want to know.
Okay, good.
What? I do not want you talking to each other about it either. I want everybody to just keep it to themselves. And then tomorrow, when we go, Jamie, let's go a little offbeat. Jamie will bring a topic to the table that will create discussion with us that will sort of be a little different than what we normally talk about. Something that will be a little off the rails.
My mind's going to a lot of places right now.
I know, and I'm
mainly
a little
food.
Scared. A little scared of that.
Actually, the first place my mind went was space.
That's good,
see,
though.
Why?
No, it could be. Don't
do
say it.
Why?
Don't say it.
No. That's just a
space porn.
Tomorrow will be offbeat.
Made me,
tomorrow will be offbeat and different. You also, too. Tomorrow, when we're going to be interactive with you tomorrow on all of these topics we bring up. We're going to be interactive with you, and you will have a chance to call in and win fabulous prizes. How about that, too? So it's going to be fun. Day before Thanksgiving, everybody's all excited, and we're leading you up to Anthony live from the Reading Terminal Market with Junis tomorrow. You want to stop on by and join them for that. The boys are going to have a great, great time out there.
You can bond over my meatball.
Olivia and I are doing lunch at the Reading Terminal Market today.
I think there may be a few people from this show going over to see Anthony tomorrow.
There you go.
So we
great,
can
great
all hang
time.
Out. Yeah.
Ooh, what are you going to get?
I do not know.
I'm excited for you guys.
I do not. I want to roast pork, I think.
Oh, get the Knicks.
I want the Knicks. Yeah, I mean, I think that's...
Herschel's is great, too.
I know. Herschel's is great.
You can't go wrong.
Miss Tootie's throws down.
You know, it's an opposing radio station, but as you know, I don't care about that. I love my man Glenn Macnow. Glenn Macnow turned me on to Herschel's like eons ago, and I love Herschel's food.
Herschel's is a good time.
It's really, really good. My wife likes the egg sandwich from like the breakfast sandwich they make there at Herschel's. Always a great
time. I go to the Amish for my breakfast.
I like the Smucker's. That's an Amish. It's one of these Smucker stands.
They throw
the
down
scrapple,
a breakfast.
Right the now. Scrapple, yeah. Egg and cheese. Oh my gosh! All right, we got a lot coming up. We have so many things we haven't gotten to on the show today that we will. But if you want to get in with us too, you can 610-632-0975. Let's take a realistic look at the playoff picture when we return. It's the John Kincaid Show here on the Fanatic. How long have you lived in your house? If it's over 10 years, if you're talking 12 years, your water heater is overdue, and you don't want to meet your water heater the day that it busts. That's why I want you to be proactive, and I want you to check out Bradford White Water Heaters. What you do is you go to bradfordwhite.com today, and I'm telling you, 10, 12 years your water heater's been in your house, it's going to bust, and you are not going to find a Bradford White water heater at the big box retail store. Plumbing and heating professionals in your area will install it so you get the proper performance and reliability. Your water heater is so essential, and nobody thinks about it till the day that it busts. And I'm telling you, with Bradford White Water Heaters, you're going to get the best in reliability and also efficiency, too. You're going to love it. Hey, visit bradfordwhite.com today. Remember, you don't always need a new water heater, but when you do, do what we did in the Kincaid House. Choose Bradford White. Learn more and find a local pro today at bradfordwhite.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. 9 o'clock hour is brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. You can get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to bagster.com. Coach doing a great job there, Bob. Very, very, very great job. I totally threw him the curveball. That tomorrow is as unscripted a show as we'll ever have, as far as just a script, as far as a running idea of everything that we know we're going to talk about. Tomorrow is the curveball. It's different. It's odd. It's out of left field.
Well, that's Coach. That describes Coach. Different, and odd, out of left field.
And Coach was completely accepting of it.
No, he wasn't.
You were. You're completely accepting him.
No, he's going to be in a tizzy for the rest
of
the day.
No, he's not.
Yes,
no, he's not.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
Storm out of meetings.
He's going to be uncomfortable.
He will be. He'll be feeling something coming out of
him. Let me tell you this.
Not just the hot dogs.
Coach, think of it this way. It makes me uncomfortable, too. But the thing is, sometimes the best stuff comes out of being uncomfortable.
That's right.
And those who never make themselves uncomfortable tend to be stagnant, stale, and never get anywhere in life.
Agreed.
So we're going to try something a little different tomorrow as we celebrate the biggest party day of the year. So we will be partying tomorrow on the John Kincaid Show. I'm partying with you, and you get the gifts. You win the prizes.
We are here for you to be thankful.
So tomorrow we're going to have fun, and it's going to be great. Can't wait for it. So hopefully you will be with us having a great, great time as we look forward to the Thanksgiving holiday. So let's take a realistic approach here. By the way, I heard Chunis and Cuz do this yesterday, and it's truly Cuz Radio. It's just like, okay, let's look at the schedules. And they're literally pulling them up and going by them as they go. Okay, well, let's look now. Let me pull up the Carolina schedule. Let's take a realistic look at the playoff discussion as involves the Eagles. For this discussion, I'm going to work under the assumption that the Eagles win four of their final six games. Because I think that is a realistic expectation of a team that's 5-6. That they would go 4-2 the rest of the way and finish 9-8. Would 9-8 be good enough? So think about it. Would 9-8 be good enough to make the postseason? The five seed Rams are currently 7-3. They've got seven games left. There's no reason to think that they're not winning three. So that gives them 10. Worst case scenario gives them 10. No, that's not good. The 6 seed Vikings are 5-5. My worst case scenario that I see with the Vikings is they end up 9-8. The 7 seed Saints are 5-5. They can definitely get to 9-8, but they would lose a tiebreaker with the Eagles. unless.
No unless.
If San Francisco ends up 9-8, the Eagles end up 9-8, and the Saints end up 9-8, then that means the head-to-head doesn't matter.
And San Fran wins.
Because you lose that head-to-head, so it doesn't work. Three-way tie, the head-to-head stuff doesn't matter. So the only way the Eagles could most likely assure themselves of a playoff berth, I see right now, is 10-7. That requires a 5-1 finish. That means there's no trip-up to me against the Giants. You must win. If you're telling me the Eagles are going 5-1 the rest of the way, you cannot tell me they've lost a game to the Giants.
49ers schedule's easy.
It is. It is easy. Damn, I'm going to give that. It is easy. The 49ers schedule, just to toss it out,
Texans,
there.
Texans, Falcons, right. Bengals, I've Titans, and Vikings.
No, Vikings first.
That's tough.
At the Seahawks.
That's relatively easy right now.
At the Bengals, that's a tough one.
That's a tough one, yeah.
Falcons at home.
Pretty easy.
At the Titans, that's a hard one. That's a hard one.
Maybe.
Titans are the number one seed in the AFC.
Bad, although, yeah,
they
had lost losing Julio. They
yeah,
lost
but they're the
Eric
number
Henry.
One seed in the
yeah,
AFC.
Yeah, it's not an easy game, but it's...
Then you get the Texans at home, and then they're at the Rams.
Ugh.
There's no way the 49ers aren't getting themselves somehow to 9-8. So, here's the thing, is that to me, if you want to make the playoffs, you've got to be 5-1 guaranteed. Where I don't believe, if they go 5-1, there's no way they're missing the playoffs. I'm going to say. If they win 10, there's no way that they're missing. But the thing is, you can't tell me a scenario where the Eagles lose a game to the Giants and win the other five. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Especially when Dallas may have to go to the end, Bob, to try to get the number one seed.
Yeah, maybe. The 9-8, you could make it. There's no question. In all the scenarios you just did, 9-8, you could make it. You get to that 10 mark, I think you're in.
I think you're in. I think it's a guarantee you're going to be the 7 seed.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean,
they're going to shoot to win them all, obviously. But if you're a fan on the outside looking in saying, what do they need? I don't feel comfortable at 9. I don't feel comfortable at 9. 10, I feel pretty good.
But if you lose it, let's say you lost this weekend to the Giants. I think it's over. Because I don't think you're winning 5 in a row. And I don't think you're winning against... I don't think you're sweeping... I do not believe they're going to sweep Washington.
Look, if you go to the Giants and lose this weekend, you have no faith in anything.
Correct.
I don't have faith that they could beat anybody if they're going up and losing to what is right now a bad Giants team.
As far as a playoff team, you lose to the Giants, I think it's over. I really do. I think it's probably over. You'll be alive, technically, where every game will be a must-win the rest of the way. You've already put loss number 7 on the board. Then it's a must win the rest of the way to get to that to secure a number of 10. 9's a crapshoot.
Yeah, 9.
They go 9-8, it's a crapshoot, and I don't believe they're going to win 9-8.
9, you don't control your own path.
Very good.
Yeah,
very
you
good,
like that?
Jamie.
I shifted from yesterday.
You don't choose your own path.
Yeah. The fact that they could possibly get to 10 wins.
Isn't it amazing?
Is ridiculous. I think they could sweep Washington and New York.
I do not.
It's going to be very hard to do. I'm not saying
I see no way they win. I see no way they sweep Washington, sweep the Giants.
I do. You don't. No matter what, you don't see that.
3-1. I believe they will go. I believe they can go 3-1 in those games.
And then it comes down to that last Dallas
game. Right. Right now, I'm going to say is I can't count the Dallas game as a win.
No,
because I think if Dallas is playing for home field advantage, I think they beat the Eagles.
Again, they haven't looked very good the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, but they're going to be healthier, though. They're not going to be missing their top 2 wide receivers.
But the Eagles, like, they're going in different directions. The Eagles are going up, Dallas is going down. So you never know. I mean,
okay,
we would have thought week five, no chance. Now I'm looking at it like, well, Dallas beat us up physically the first game.
They did.
Now we're the ones imposing the physical beatings. So it's a whole new season. It really is.
So you're on the record here, because this is just sort of on the record. You do believe they could go 4-0 against Giants Washington?
Could. Yes.
Okay, Jamie, you say?
Yes.
Could, yeah.
I do not believe they can.
I just really don't. Do you think they could?
No.
Okay.
I don't think they're that good. Like, I think they're...
Oh, I don't think they're
really... I don't think
really
they're that good. I don't think they're the team that's going to... I do believe it'll be Washington that trips them up in one of those games.
They're doing something at an elite level right now.
I don't think they're very good at all, but you're talking about two bad teams, so they could. I don't think they will, but they could.
You're still sticking with they're not that good,
huh?
You
don't think they will either.
No, I don't. But, Jamie, I don't think the Giants or Washington is very good either. That's my point. Like, I think they could sweep them. I don't think they will, but they certainly could. You could make the argument. I'm not going to die on that hill.
Okay, Pat, what's more likely? That the Eagles go 4-0 against Washington and the Giants, or they go 2-2 against Washington and the Giants? What's more likely in your mind today? If your gut instinct, what would you say?
2-2.
I agree with you.
I would lean that way also.
If you're telling me, is it more likely they go 4-0 or more likely they go 2-2? I would lean towards 2-2.
I would lean towards 4-0. I mean, the Eagles-Giants rivalry is completely one-sided.
It has been.
They dominate the Giants, even with Daniel Jones usually having his better games against the Eagles. So the Giants I look at as a pesky gnat that I can just flick away right now. Is that cocky of me? Maybe. But when you win 25 of the last 30 games or whatever it is.
Something like that, isn't it?
It's something like that. It's absurd. You have to do something at an elite level in the NFL to be considered a good team. And what the Eagles right now are doing is the best in the NFL. I mean, Paul Hemikitis had this stat yesterday that blew my mind. Against the Saints, it created 186 rushing yards before contact versus the Saints, the number one rush defense in the NFL. Before contact!
It's wild.
That's bonkers. They're doing something at a elite level.
What does that tell
bonkers?
You? You're getting big...
Bonkers!
They're busting big holes.
Yeah.
And then their offensive linemen are getting out and
blocking again.
Well, we saw the Jason Kelsey one. There was three blocks.
Like, to me, once you're doing something at an elite level, you can beat anybody.
Westbrook had a really good video on his Instagram account. He was breaking down the tape, and he's like, look, I played with John Runyon and Trey Thomas, and I thought those two guys were the biggest human beings and athletic freaks and blah. And then he just starts raving about the Eagles tackles and Mailata and Lane Johnson. This is a guy who ran between these two guys that are Eagles Hall of Famers. And when you compare the Eagles tackles right now, he's praising them. Like, that is high
praise.
That
is high praise.
From a guy that knows what the hell he's talking about.
And don't forget Dickerson, who looks like the Mountain from Game of Thrones.
I love it, too.
Oh, you mean the athletic fridge?
Yeah. I love it. Because I had so many people after the draft going, you're SEC biased. You're such an SEC biased guy. Like Landon Dickerson. It's complete. Look, the health issue is a risk.
Sure.
We all acknowledge it. But he was a great talent coming out.
He's a first-round pick if he's not hurt.
I think he's a top 16 first-round pick.
Probably.
Park Sportsbook app is a great offer for you, by the way. You want that $500 risk-free bet just in time for the Thanksgiving holidays? Visit parkscasino.com/PA. Promo code Kincaid. You got to be 21 if you have a gambling problem. And you're in Pennsylvania, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Much more concerned about Washington than New York.
So am I.
Yes.
But if you lose to the Giants this weekend,
it's over.
Well, it's not over technically.
But
you're on life support.
Yeah.
At that point. Then you're hoping this team loses, that team loses, this team.
Yeah. And it's the way Dallas is playing, I think that last game is going to mean something to them.
I don't. It's looking that
I
way.
I do, yeah. Green Bay.
But again, I can't chalk that up to an automatic L.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, I hear people counting it as a win, saying the Eagles are winning that game because Dallas isn't going to be playing for anything. And I'm like, why do you assume that? There are so many teams clumped, and there's only one bye, so it keeps teams playing longer.
Right. Yeah.
So, Bob, you had a late Cooney's Corner I wanted to get to here. Is your mind is wandering with the Eagles running game.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
I just wonder, the way I've watched this over the last 3 weeks with how great the Eagles have been running the football, does your mind wonder a little bit, what if they had that big thrower back there? What if they had a guy that could throw the ball consistently on a 20-yarder when you had this unbelievable running game? And you have defenses now because of what the Eagles' passing game is. Defenses are closing in more and more and more, right? Because
yes,
Jalen Hurts isn't throwing the ball downfield. We all know it. Defenses are closing in, closing in. And I'm not going to bring up the Indianapolis quarterback's name. I'm not talking about that. But imagine if you had a big-arm quarterback back there with this running game. A guy that could take... This running game is almost begging you to take shots downfield. It just is. It's begging you to do it. You have a Quez Watkins. You have... I'm sorry, but Devontae Smith, although his number wasn't all that great at the combine as far as speed, he's ball speed.
Yeah, and he'll beat people.
If there's a ball up there to get, he'll go and get it. This just begs for a big arm, break a play every once in a while quarterback. Do you ever wander to that? Because I just envisioned it this weekend as I'm watching the game saying, man, wouldn't it be cool if you just saw a bomb downfield to a guy wide open? But you're not going to see it.
I'm going to say, wait a minute here, is that, and I hear people saying this about it, is how much does Jalen Hurts help the running game work, though?
A lot. Oh, a tremendous amount.
So, yes. I mean, I wonder...
The zone reads they were doing on Sunday were awesome. You could literally see the defense going, bleep, which guy?
Yeah.
Like, that moment of pause of, is he going to give it to the running back or is it him? I don't know, because they're both dangerous. Like, that millisecond counts for a lot.
And New Orleans was giving up 1.6 yards per carry in RPOs coming into this game. So, yes, Jalen Hurts, but if you just added an arm to that,
all I think of is the quarterback with a big arm. What do a lot of quarterbacks with big arms do? They don't get rid of the ball fast.
Yeah.
They look for the play downfield. They take hits. I saw where all of a sudden the Indianapolis Colts, who Phillip Rivers wasn't taking hits last year. They're second in hits, I believe, this year.
Yeah.
Quarterback hits. As Carson holds on to the ball too long, trying to make that big play, I wonder about that. I think it would look totally different.
Sprinkled in. Just if you had a guy that you knew could throw the ball, maybe his accuracy isn't great, maybe he's not the best of throwers, similar to what Jalen Hurts is or is not. But, God, if you could just lace one down the field a couple of times a game to keep the offense or the defense honest, that might be pretty fun to watch. I do. I just think about it. And, look, it's silly to go back to Randall.
Please,
God,
yes.
The gun that he had with his running ability. Wow.
I think about it all the time, Bob.
Yeah, like an RPO and then just
think
step
about it
back
with 11?
And fire.
Or
yeah.
Not.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I was always a guy that wanted the throwing quarterback, like the guy that, air out offense.
The gunslinger.
Yeah, and not that I'm opposed to running the football, but... There's limitations with Jalen Hurts. There just is.
Yes.
You know, and I do think about what could be if you had a guy back there who could just bomb it out.
There you go. Hey, this year, don't just get ready. Get holiday ready with Ford. And the best place to start is at your local Ford dealer. Inventory is arriving daily, so you're sure to get a great deal. Check it out all at buyfordnow.com. Understand the chip shortage is starting to... Now, all of a sudden, car dealerships are getting cars back and everything, so...
Yeah, I read by first quarter next year it shouldn't be a problem anymore.
Yeah, that it's supposed to be a thing of the past.
Good.
That we're not talking about the chip shortage.
For a second, I panicked and thought you meant potato chips, and I was like, oh, my God.
There better not be.
Jeez, how do you have a potato chip shortage? What's going on?
There better not be a potato chip
shortage. Well, there's a wing shortage in every place but PJ's.
Yeah, PJ's have plenty of wings. I have no idea where everybody else is.
Keep hearing about this wing shortage. You go to PJ's, they got plenty of them.
They got lots of wings.
They must be hoarding the wings.
By the way, I have a violation here. Can I just say that... I'm a little disappointed in someone who's been a loyal listener to the show.
Uh-oh.
Who I really count on.
What did T-Dog do?
No, it's not T-Dog.
Mm.
It's our man, Tasty Cake Dom.
What do you say, Tasty Cake Dom? What's the matter, Nikki?
It's November 23rd.
Oh.
And remember, it was going to be last month I got told, well, Anthony's going to get them.
I miss my witchy
treats.
And
then Anthony's going to bring them in.
I'm a witchy treat, man.
I
was leaving the other day, and I saw a Tasty Cake truck in the parking lot, and I actually thought, oh.
Dom's paying off his bet. Yes. But much like Aaron Nola, my expectations were up here, and Dom's delivering down here.
Well, I need to
know. Or should I say not delivering?
I need to find out the backstory here because Anthony can be a tricky guy to meet up with sometimes. So maybe Dom's tried. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Anthony is not involved in this equation.
Well, he's the delivery man.
No,
he's the middleman.
Anthony's not involved in this equation.
He's the drug mule.
He shouldn't have to be.
He's got
to
smuggle him across state lines.
If I lose a bet to you and I make the Billy Big Balls bet
I
make it, then I pay off the bet by you do it.
Like you will be to Adam.
You do. Exactly. You do it at that point.
All right.
That's
fine.
What you do.
I'm trying to give Dom the benefit of the doubt.
I'm wishing Dom would live up to expectations. I'm like, you make the bet, you keep the bet.
But can we thank him for listening?
Dom's always listening. He's
so,
right now in it.
We need to thank him for that.
Thank you, Dom, for listening.
Thank you, Dom.
There we go.
Not for the tasty cakes, though.
No. I mean, there's...
Not for those buttercream ones.
He was known back in his youth. Thank you, Nick.
I just got a tweet from somebody that would know. Apparently, there might be a potato chip shortage.
What?
Eric Fink just tweeted me. He runs a hoagie shop in the Northeast.
Oh, thanks.
And he said that they've had a tough time getting some chips.
What?
I pray this isn't true.
All I'm going to say to you is this. For some reason, and the HERS folks, I love the kettle, black pepper, cracked
salt
black pepper,
and
sea salt.
Black pepper. Yeah, it's good.
Okay. Can't find them anywhere. And Joe Z's come up very small on this for me, by the way. I'm just saying.
A potato chip shortage? Well, I mean, what
if
the hell is going on out here?
You know what? There's tons of the jalapeno kettle ones.
Yeah.
And there's tons of them. You know why there's tons of them available? Because nobody's buying them as much as they want to buy the cracked pepper and the salt. I'm just saying. Okay. What a market study. Come to it. Get the cracked black pepper.
When I think
the
chip, the barbecue HERS gold bag is the first thing.
That orangey bag.
I'm a Grainsman. I like plain chips.
I had, and you brought it up the other day, and then they were on the golf course. Those things are, they bring you back.
Yeah.
You open up the barbecue.
I think
of
grade school.
The barbecued HERS, you taste it. It's a complete unique taste.
Yep.
Never tasted before. And I tasted it on the golf course. I haven't bought the barbecue ones in forever.
I rarely
buy them.
They
were delicious.
But every time I see them, I'm like, ooh.
Oh my gosh. Barbecued HERS.
Reminds me of lunch.
If there is a chip shortage, we got problems.
Somebody's head's got to roll.
Jamie would be like in deep depression.
If there was a candy bar shortage, I'm fine.
Yeah, I could live.
If there's a no
soda
candy. Soda shortage.
No, I don't
even drink soda, so that's fine.
Right.
I'm fine.
Stop.
But
chips.
Not.
Chips is too far.
Boy, sorry, Pat would be beside himself.
What if there's a hot dog shortage? Man, imagine if they had to ban the wiener.
I cooked some wieners last night.
What do you put your wiener in?
And I split them. Cooked them on the grill. So far superior wiener when you split it and then griddle it.
Split wiener.
Yeah.
Love the big wiener.
Griddle it up.
And you griddled them.
Yeah.
So you like put them in a frying pan with
water. No, my stovetop has the center section that you can put
a
griddle edition on.
Of course it does.
Oh, it's great. Pancakes and hot dogs
There's
on that,
a
baby?
Shock.
Of course it does.
There's
Try
a
them
shock.
In the air fryer.
Ooh.
Okay, now wait. Air fryer, what's the, how much time?
Well, so Jamie splits the hot dogs on the one side. You split them on both sides, on opposite sides, right down the middle. Put them in the air fryer for 10 minutes on about 375.
375, 10 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Because in a frying pan, it doesn't take 10 minutes.
Trust me.
I mean, you can eat a hot dog right out of the fridge.
No, you can't.
Yeah, I did it all growing up.
Ooh.
Absolutely.
They're already pre-processed crap.
Ooh. Yeah. You can.
Yeah, it's fine.
I know somebody who used to peel back the...
Oh, no.
The canvas...
No, the sausage casing, like, basically?
Of the pork roll, of the Taylor pork roll, and would eat Taylor pork roll cold.
Oh, I thought you were going hot dogs. Phew.
Out of his fridge. You know how you have to pull back the casing on the thing? He would take it, pull back the casing, take a couple bites out, put the casing back up. It was only him, though.
Terrible. Like, there's things that separates us from the animals. And then this guy goes out and it just throws evolution out the window.
If you saw how he looked, too, you'd go, that sucks. Why does he look like that eating like that? It's just bizarre. It's a bizarre thing to do. All right, Jamie wants to abolish something. Plus, I've got some tips for you on how to avoid holiday drama with your family. I wonder how many of them we can keep. It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Look, Steven Singer, there's no reason to hate him. The other jewelers hate him. But Steven Singer, there's no reason to hate him because he's going to make you the star of this holiday season. You can choose a great pair of Anita diamond stud earrings that your lady would love for under $270. And that was last year's price, too. Because you know what Steven doesn't do? He doesn't jack up prices like everyone else, claiming that there are fulfillment issues out there that are causing us to raise prices. He's not like that. There's no sales, there's no discounts, and no BS when you're dealing with Steven Singer Jewelers. You'll love it. Plus, they all come with the unbeatable full 100-day 100% money-back guarantee. Looking for necklaces? I was. Steven Singer Jewelers has got them. Make it a no-risk day for shopping because it's early delivery is going to get there. You're going to be done. You're going to feel great. Go to IHateStevenSinger.com. Do your shopping online. Always with fast and free shipping. It's my friend Steven Singer. Steven Singer Jewelers. With one place, one price. IHateStevenSinger.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
How about this one? If you're a Temple sports fan, have I got a double dip for you? You're going to win a pair of tickets to see Temple football battle Navy on Saturday at noon at Lincoln Financial Field. Kids tickets, by the way, game day is only $12.
You have my attention.
Visit alstix.com. And you can meet Andrew Salchunas before the game.
You have my attention even more.
At the Fanatic 10 outside the link. But there's more, Pat.
What?
You're also going to win a pair of tickets to see Temple basketball battle LaSalle next Wednesday at the Lear Chorus Center. And you're going to receive unlimited hot dogs, popcorn, and soda. Plus a game ticket. Coach is going to want these for himself.
Love the big wiener. Say hot dogs?
You want Temple Ticks?
Unlimited.
215-204-8499 or visit alstix.com. But if you want to be a winner of the double ticket giveaway right now from Temple, you're going to be the third caller at 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Two big events. Join Temple University. I'll be strolling around the campus today. Going to go down to Temple's campus, Penn's campus. Drexel's campus.
Nice.
Olivia's going to come and just hang out with Pop. We're going to go walk around and go see these
different
campuses.
You going
to
get some food trucks at Drexel?
No, we're going to hit, she wants to hit Reading Terminal Market for lunch. She wants to hit Reading Terminal Market for lunch. So we're going to do that.
Those food trucks are a good time up there in University.
But the Philadelphia school's showing an interest in her. So before she makes her choice, I want her to actually see these places and say, before you choose, see it. So to get a little bit of an opportunity today to do that. A little Thanksgiving drama. Had any of your families ever created Thanksgiving drama?
Never.
Have you ever had like a fight break out and everything? Because it's weird. Every time I read one of these, our Thanksgiving's been rather peaceful in my entire life, even with a very loud extended family.
I got absolutely hammered accidentally at one. I think that was like...
How do you accidentally get hammered?
I don't know. Just happened. You know, some days you take...
Having the time of his life.
I think, yeah, some days you take a sip and you're like, oh, this is the most delicious nectar of the gods I've ever tasted. And then they just start flowing and you lose control.
I can't imagine getting drunk at a...
You are such an idiot.
I can't imagine getting drunk at a...
You accidentally got bombed. Dinner. Yeah, I got... Yeah, it was...
A family holiday.
You're excited. Feel these nipples.
Don't tell me you were a guest.
No, it was Uncle Dick's house. Yeah.
No, you were a guest, though.
Well, yeah, but it's like... It's like
were you married?
Yeah, Addie was there.
Pat, you don't drink.
No.
But have your Thanksgivings been fairly peaceful?
I've worked the past bunch of them.
Okay.
So they've been very peaceful.
They've been more peaceful.
Because I've worked the past bunch of them. So I've been here with the board and whatever Thanksgiving game we got going.
Okay, I stole this from NBC Nightly News. The number one thing that's going to cause conflict at your Thanksgiving table.
Politics.
We all know it. Why are people bringing it up?
Yeah, who enjoys talking about it?
What are you talking politics for at a Thanksgiving dinner?
Well, Ralph Nader's policy is actually really good. But I mean,
I don't understand who these people are.
Did you hear that JFK Jr. is coming back?
Well, I thought Bob always said he is. You know, he's wondered that. I was surprised that. Okay, now we get by politics. Everybody can agree on that. What do people argue about otherwise? At a family Thanksgiving.
Well, like, does gas prices fall under politics?
No.
Okay.
No, gas positions.
Sports. I'll say other family members.
Yes.
Yeah, good one.
Talking behind other family members' backs.
That's cool.
Criticizing other... Who's doing that?
I say it to their face.
At Thanksgiving dinner. At a Thanksgiving celebration. What are you going? Boy, I hate Cousin Larry.
You always complain about who's not there.
Cousin Larry.
Yeah, it seems to be a trend. You always complain about, can you believe so-and-so didn't show up?
They did a feature
Instead
last...
being happy, who is there?
They did a feature last night of how to enjoy your Thanksgiving dinner if money's tight. And they're saying you don't have to have a turkey for Thanksgiving. Has anyone ever been forced to have a turkey? I mean, I know people who do lasagna.
I haven't done a turkey in years.
You get a nice Cornish game hen.
I know people who do lasagna. I know people who've done all kinds of things, especially with people in the South. They cook out a lot, and a lot of times there won't be they won't do turkey.
It just has to be a feast.
Turkey's not bad. It was a little pricier this year, but we've gotten you and I talked about it. Last year, I got a turkey for like 29 cents a pound. This year, I think we paid 58 cents a pound.
I got a free turkey. I got to pick bad. Up.
Hey, I had a free by the way, Christina said yesterday I got offered the free turkey when she put in my phone number. I said, well, I've joined all the shopping clubs.
Yeah.
So put in my phone number and it says, do you want to redeem for your free turkey? So I said, no, because she already had it covered.
Yeah, take that bird and throw it in the freezer.
What am I going to do with it?
Have us over.
Yeah, you can.
I'm going to cook a turkey. Cook a turkey.
I actually got two turkeys. When we got our Thanksgiving turkey, which is like a 23 pounder, I also got about a 12, 14 pounder just to put in the freezer for another time.
Yeah, it's here's always nice to have a bird in the freezer.
Here's another one. It's
bird in the freezer is worth one in the hand.
It's,
damn right.
It's family members comparing their success to each other.
What kind of weirdo families are these?
I sent you this thing.
By the way,
I snapshotted the graphic.
The radio people never have to worry about
that. I'm saying, are you kidding me? Like, the people are doing, like, this is your, you have a bad family. I think should be the feature they should do is, you've got a bad family if this is going on in your family.
All right, now wait a minute. How many people do you have around your Thanksgiving table normally? Three.
Well, no. We would usually be, I mean, if we're at our table's
family?
Different. But no, I'm talking about family. In my life, I've sat at tables with
No. Let's talk about the last 17 years.
Well, that's different.
Well, the more people...
In my life, I've sat at gigantic
if
gatherings.
If you have a 25 to 30 person Thanksgiving table...
These things are going to happen.
The chances of this happening are much higher.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, we used to have about 20 people at our... Now we're down to 11 or so.
But who's bringing that divisiveness to the table?
We have a 55-person Christmas party. There's never once been an incident of any sort.
There should be.
They were talking behind your back. You just didn't know it.
No, that's fine. I don't really care.
Hey, take advice from Devon Givens. We all trust Devon, right?
With my life.
Okay. Low mileage Acuras, Lexus, BMWs, and F-150s. I noticed that Jamie didn't answer. Visit GraceAutoPA.com. Grace Auto Group on Route 1 in Morrisville, Pennsylvania. Just minutes from Northeast Philly and Trenton.
I gave him one of the delicious Philadelphia Union cookies last Friday.
So you didn't bring him one. You just happened to take one.
Yeah.
It was here and you grabbed it.
And I said, hey, have one, Devon. It's delicious.
Jamie wants to abolish something from Thanksgiving. You want to get rid of something from Thanksgiving.
Why the hell are we force-fed the Detroit freaking Lions every single year?
Do you not know the answer, or do you? Because I know the answer.
I don't know the answer, and I don't care, because it needs to end. They're a garbage franchise. I hate watching them every Thanksgiving. Give me good football. Your entire country is watching.
You know what there was? The NFL wanted to have Thanksgiving on television. And they went to the franchises and said, who was willing to do it? And the Detroit Lions were the first franchise that stepped up. And literally, they were getting nobody to want to do it. And they needed it for the TV networks. They wanted a Thanksgiving game. Detroit stepped up.
That's the dumbest reason I've ever heard.
And part of the agreement was Detroit stepped up when nobody else will, so it became their tradition.
That's stupid.
Good for them.
No, I think it's they deserve it.
And what year was that?
Oh, it's long. It's a long tradition.
Yeah,
but they did.
Now teams are used to playing on Thursday, so let's change it. It's the dumbest tradition ever. Nobody wants to watch the Lions. Even Lions fans don't want to watch the Lions. Please stop subjecting us to this. It's terrible football. We have to watch doll hands. Oh, let's all gather around the TV on Thursday and watch Jared freaking Goff. Please.
No, you're not watching Goff. He's injured.
Right. Whatever. Get them off my TV.
It's even more reason. These matchups suck. Well,
yeah, they're terrible.
This is horror. What are we doing as a society? Like, we need to be better.
There
are better options than the Detroit Lions, who haven't been relevant in 60 years since Bobby Lane was the quarterback. That was the last time they were relevant. And yet every year, I'm force-fed this bad football team.
You know
them, Pat. No, you need better options. Spend time with your damn family.
No,
watch football. Maybe that's why the NFL does it, so that you'll spend more time with your family.
Roger Goodell, look with it.
Turn the damn TV off.
Turn it off.
Have the nation's attention that
all
day.
The people bitching about the Lions.
In 1978, the Lions offered they would do
don't,
it. Yeah, because they suck.
Don't.
And they've always sucked, and they'll continue to suck.
Don't watch it.
I don't.
Well, then that's it. But guess what? The ratings are crazy for these games.
Yeah, because people put it on.
They would be better if it was a good team.
But it doesn't. Again,
like the idea that we are, the ratings are good, so let's keep it status quo.
No, the ratings are great.
Okay, I don't care what the ratings are, John. They'd be better if the Detroit freaking Lions were on television. If you had a good football team out there, they would be better. It's ridiculous. You're part of the problem. You and Bob.
You support.
Wow.
Gary.
Will you be watching?
I don't know. Probably not. Honestly, probably not.
I will.
It'll be on. I don't know how much.
No, exactly. It'll be on. But it'll be on.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But if it was a good game, I'd actually watch.
I have no fantasy implications in it, so probably not.
I'll
watch because I'm gambling on it.
This also comes into it.
There you go.
We eat during the second half of the Lions game.
Well, that's good planning by you guys.
We eat during the second half of the first game and then have dessert and everything at the second half of the Dallas game. So that way it's spread out a little bit, so when you don't have to do the Al Bundy, unbuttoning your pants. Sticking your hand in your pants for a little relief.
Yeah, I've never done that.
You don't have to do the...
I just switch into sweatpants. I'll usually bring sweatpants with me. It's a classic move.
Keep it in your pants.
Wait, you bring sweatpants
I've never
to someone,
known anybody that's so involved with their pants and on
move.
And off.
Wait,
them.
You bring sweatpants to someone's house?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like my aunt and uncle's house. It's not somebody's house to me.
Why can't you just wear them out?
Why can't you just wear them then?
Because I like, my mom... likes to say
picture time
dressed up. Yeah, you
so
take
wait, a picture. What does dressed up mean?
Not much. I mean,
Lululemons,
like a sweater and some
like Christina Lululemons. Said. Like,
say it.
Like Christina said, she has a dress for Thanksgiving. Like, why are you wearing a dress?
Nice. Why wouldn't she?
It's a dress up day.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
See, I don't like the idea of it being a dress up. day.
If I was hosting, I would encourage everybody hoodies and sweats. Let's just party.
I don't know.
I even wear jeans.
I've done it before. I go dinner and a movie, and I'll bring sweats for the movie.
Dinner and a movie.
Yep. So like I'll go out, and
Pat gets it.
Yeah, and I'll kind of not dress up.
Well,
you were
going by yourself to the movie. Not going with a young lady.
No, if I'm going, I'll bring the sweats. Take my pants off in the car. Let her know what's up. You know what I'm saying? And then we put the sweats on, so we're comfortable.
Okay, that's like psycho stuff.
Built for speed and comfort.
That's elite. My whole goal in life is to be comfortable.
Okay.
That's why I got into this job.
Yeah, I can wear flip-flops to work.
Yeah, when I found out that this was the dress code, let's party.
Hey, you may not always need a new water heater, but when you do, choose our friends at Bradford White. That's the craziest thing in the world I've ever heard. You're on a date.
Yeah.
And you change on a date.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think he was pretty comfortable in the relationship at this point.
Even if I wasn't, I mean, let's test the waters out.
You can always try things. I'm not against that. What the hell? You throw something out there, see if it sticks to the wall or not.
I mean, worst comes to worst, what's going to happen, right? She walks out of the movie and goes in another one?
And you got what you wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm by myself.
Uh-huh.
That's all right. I'm comfortable.
It's just
striking, Kate.
The only time the Lions were fun to watch on Thanksgiving was when Barry Sanders was playing.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep, and I always got him on my fantasy team just for Thanksgiving games.
It's so stupid. Just oh, be God. Better, NFL.
It'd be better.
Be
well, better. They're trying. They're trying.
No, they're not.
Now, you brought up earlier in the show, Bob, about Joel Embiid. You thought maybe they're saving some of his legs?
I'll say this. I will say this. I think they're probably, throughout the year, before they trade Ben Simmons and get more assets on the floor, that maybe they're going to take it easy with him. That maybe they're going to say, all right, let's not rush him. Maybe he gets one or two games off when you didn't expect it. I just wonder. I wonder if they look at this season and say, like most of us, they can't win a championship right now as currently constructed when one of their main players is out. And you've gotten nothing for him. Basketball-wise, this sucks. Business-wise, I understand what you have to do. But basketball-wise, this sucks. You don't have an all-star player, and you didn't get any assets for him. If I'm a coach, I'm literally kicking down Daryl Morey's door saying, yeah, your patience is fine and dandy. Get me a damn basketball team here, please. Hey, this would start to tick me off. So you wonder, it's a year of Joel Embiid, say without Ben Simmons and say without any assets for him. Do you waste a year? Do you pile minutes onto those legs? I wonder if that's in their thinking. That's all I'm saying.
So they've given up, potentially.
I don't want to say they've given up on the season, but I think they're being... I wouldn't put it past it being in their mind of being cautious with Joel Embiid, even more so.
They would say, you know what? Nothing that organization would do would surprise me as far as that's concerned.
I mean, Jamie brought this up a long time ago. He only has a certain amount of years in his legs. Do you take one away when you know it's... maybe a nothing year because you haven't gotten anything yet for Ben Simmons at all.
Does it also take?
I mean, it makes you wonder.
Does it also take the heat off of Doc Rivers after a lousy year? Does it take the heat off of him?
Maybe.
My God, this is like being in the zoo today. This is crazy town. I mean, it takes the heat off of Doc Rivers.
It could.
Yeah, no, this year there's no expectations on Doc Rivers.
Anthony's meatheadness is brought to you by PropSwap. PropSwappers are finding the best odds in the country because they're buying directly from other bettors like you and me. So go to PropSwap.com and download the free app.
Uncle Anthony's in the house.
What's up? By the way, Lions!
Oh, why? You support you this you garbage?
Would. Yes.
Ew.
Tradition. Would.
No, tradition my ass.
Respect for tradition.
It's a crappy tradition.
Lions!
Okay, if I let you take if I let you take one sports tradition away, abolish it forever.
I got one.
Okay, what would it be?
You guys are gonna sour, especially you on this.
What?
The shaking of the hands after a series.
I love it.
I'm so tired about how it's the grand tradition.
Wow,
that is
I love that one.
That's
a first.
Hot take.
First time I disagree with Bob.
I'm going to tell you, I'd abolish. unless you win the American League Championship or the National League Championship or the World
Champagne.
Series. No champagne.
I agree with that.
No champagne for being the wild card.
Wait, seriously.
Or winning a wild card game.
Yes. You're popping bottles for Division Series round?
Correct.
That's horrible.
I think you got beer there, champagne for the bigger rounds.
Horrible.
No bigger. What?
You get the tall boys.
The celebration.
We're wearing goggles. You can pop bottles.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's become
nonsense. You win your division, pop some beer. Party it up.
It's become
beer.
Nonsense.
Yeah,
that's
beer.
Fine.
Beer's fine.
But, yeah. None of this. We got to put up the tarp. We have to put on our goggles.
I never understood.
Division.
I never understood the squirting of alcohol. Why are you wasting it?
Yeah, I hear you.
The champagne sucks.
Yeah, but it's fun.
Then you mix it with some orange juice like we're doing tomorrow.
You've had lousy champagne.
No, I've had some good champagne. I think it's all gross.
He's a vouv. He's a vouv,
man.
That's
great.
We have bottled that.
That's great.
That's right.
Yeah. Is there any chance?
I rock the vouv all the time.
So we're going to have fine reds and whites at the Feast of the Fishes?
Yes, but the white comes from an incredible region. It goes with the fish.
Okay, good.
You'll have the red pasta.
Okay, good.
For the main course of crabs, you'll have the red. But the white, trust me, you'll love this white. It's the Baroni Fini white.
Oh, wow.
And it comes from a special region in north of Italy.
I've been told.
It's unbelievable.
You know what I'm hearing about the
Bob's
Feast of the...
wine, man.
I've been hearing the Feast of the Seven Fishes. I've had two of my buddies who are winesmen say, oh, it's the wine. You're going to love this wine.
Yeah, it's incredible wine. It really is. I mean, we got top shelf wine.
It's fantastic.
No, it's
John's amazing. Gonna have to Uber from Jersey.
That's what I'm wondering. Is like, do I go Uber from New Jersey,
or you can get Egan if you pay him? I give him $100.
You can Uber. It's gonna be cheap.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cheap. They can try to be fun. That sounds
like
it
sounds
good.
Get nuts.
It's going to be a great time.
Either that or just come, right?
Right.
Park here.
Not a bad idea.
And then, you know, all the station types are coming.
It's not a bad idea. And take one ride from that. It's not a bad idea.
Sure.
Sounds like it's going to be a great time.
Oh, we're going to have a blast.
Now, tomorrow you're going to have a great time, too. We're going to have a...
Anthony,
you're going to... You got to listen tomorrow morning because you're going to love our show for different... Because tomorrow...
I always love your show.
It's like a no-rules show tomorrow, though.
Oh, really? God,
like
that's
like a no-show sheet.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's
bizarre, bizarre, different.
Yeah, I love that.
And we lead you.
Because I hate rules.
And we lead you into the we lead you into the Reading Terminal Market.
Yeah, that's never rules. Forget about it.
Your niece and I'll be there. Your niece and I are going to go have lunch today at the Reading Terminal Market. We're going down to shop.
Why don't you come tomorrow?
Because we have something tomorrow we got going on, or we would. But she wants to see the city, so we're going to go down to the city today, have a little lunch.
Oh, it's beautiful.
She wanted to come in and see Uncle Anthony before she goes, though. So she's
I love it.
Her uncle cuz.
I love her. Oh, so that's a good awesome. Time.
It's the holidays. You talked about it yesterday. Everything looks better at the holidays.
See, when I close my eyes in the happy, like I see Philadelphia, like, but when I see the city itself,
it's trimmed
in
up.
All of its grandeur. Okay. I close my eyes and I see the lights, right? There's always the Christmas lights, the holiday lights, right? Everything's lit up. It's decorated. It's cold. Right, and you have Thanksgiving parade, and that leads you into Christmas, right?
And then
you
the
have
mummers.
The New Year's, right. Exactly. And that, to me, is Philadelphia at its core. It's cold, it's dressed up, it's the holiday season.
When I was hearing you and Tunis yesterday talking about the holidays, it's the same memory I have of people in and out of our house.
Ah, the best.
Like, and us in and out of other people's houses. Like, it's so many people, like, I heard, like, I forgot I was talking to you today. It was just like, yeah, the holidays was just like another day. Like, it was nice, but it was just like another day. And I'm like, it was like open houses.
Ah, it's the best.
Everybody came in for a pop.
But, you know, especially when we were kids, like, the other generation, because they were just, they would just go see family and friends.
Well, they weren't going to clubs. They weren't going to, like, going out to, like,
well,
you know,
no,
all the time.
I'm talking about, like, our parents and all that stuff, right? Like, come on, like, they would meander, like, come in, who's bringing bottles? Like, they're all drinking. They were all eat. Like, they would have the roast pork, and they would have strombolis.
Oh, my gosh.
All this stuff. Like, the sandwiches and cakes.
And people in and out of people's house.
Yeah, and then you walk around, and you go to the parade, and it's cold out. You walk to somebody's house, you get a little nip, get warm.
Blessed Mother in the front grotto, or in the front window, or in the picture window.
It was beautiful. Like, it was actually beautiful. You know, tradition.
I love walking around.
We're gonna do that today.
You like
love
that?
Nip. Right, it's cold outside. Go to somebody's house.
It's fellowship.
Cheer.
We need
that
more
was
fellowship.
The whole thing, holiday cheer.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially after the last
freaking pandemic
last year.
It got everybody being antisocial.
Yeah,
back to being social.
I agree.
You know
that's
what?
Why we're coming to Reading Terminal Market
you know
for
what?
You tomorrow.
That has to be.
Yes.
That has to be something in the last few weeks before the holidays, after Thanksgiving. That has to be something you push every day. About being more, find ways to be more social.
Yeah, because
there's a lot of people, they've gotten out of the habit.
To be lazy and a recluse because you have all the creature comforts and you got everything to pass the time.
Cuz Radio is coming your way next. It's going to be a great time with Tunis, as it is every day. Join us tomorrow to be the oddest edition of the John Kincaid Show you've ever heard. Remember to support life-saving cancer research. Join us and our generous partner, Adam Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today at 975thefanatic.com/AACR, because cancer research saves lives. Join us tomorrow. You're going to have fabulous prizes up for grabs when you join in the discussion. John Kincaid Show comes your way tomorrow at 6. Cuz Radio is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.